Okay, let's get this started because it is 10:11. We are late. I'll tell you, we already had a prayer this morning just before the meeting. Breakfast. I kind of included the meeting in it. So if everybody's all right with that, we'll just move right there. So let's have our, we have Assistant Secretary to the Secretary, Candy. You want to do? Can you do a roll call? You got the names of everybody here. Everybody.
You want it in the recorder to have it in there too, then, or what?
It's on.
No, it's on. Okay, good. You can just take the notes and put it in the minutes, please. We have a quorum here. We have four boards. So very good. I need to. Oh, okay. All right, we have five board members, and we're in great shape. For those of you who don't know, Art's mother passed away, and Jody, he's got all within about 150 miles of here, and had business problems. And that's where some of our people are today.
Conference recording started.
Okay. So, the board member should have received the minutes from, sent out by Joe Candy for the last board meeting. Are there any corrections, additions,
I second it.
Okay.
Oh. Is there conversation on that, please?
Oh, Jody's on.
Jody, we just accepted the minutes. Can you hear us all right while we're talking now?
Well, yeah, I can hear you, but I had some corrections on the minutes.
Oh, okay. Let's hear your corrections then.
Okay, and also, on the roll call, as being on the phone, we can't see who's there. Can we do a verbal one so we know who's there?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you who's here. Leland, Robert,
Musco,
myself, Joe Bose, and Bob. We call him Bob.
Bob Allen.
Huh. Bob Allen. And then it's Paul and Nancy, Jaron.
Gary.
Why you guys just say your names? All right.
Bob and May.
Mike Duvall.
And none other than
Brent Fulmer.
All right.
Yes, I could hear Brent earlier.
All right, well, if everybody would pull out their minutes then, and we will listen to Jody's concerns.
Okay. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right, first thing, let me thank Candy for an excellent job on the content and organization of minutes. It's so nice to have them in an organized fashion. But I'd like to make a recommendation to the board on the minutes. I feel that, like, there's too much time between our meetings and when the minutes come out. Would it be possible to have the minutes out to the board members within a week after the meeting and then allow another week for corrections and a final copy out on our website the following week? And I ask this because it would allow the minutes to be reviewed and corrected and approved within 3 weeks and allow the membership to keep up with what's happening on a timely basis and also permit time to review these minutes prior to the meeting. I'm old. I'm finding it really hard to recall everything accurate after, like, you know, a few weeks have gone by. So I'm asking if that would be possible. Candy, would that be okay? Would that be possible with you?
I'd have to see. It may not be. So you may need to get another secretary. I'll do my best, but I get busy.
Yeah, I know. We're busy, but it's like I have a hard time recalling it. And I just want to put it out there, and especially when we have a long the time in between minutes now, I think now we're going to be on a monthly basis anyway, so it might not be an issue because we have them faster, but waiting before the 2 months has gone by is really hard. But on to the corrections. In section number one, where it says all board members were present, in lieu of all board members were present, can we have a list of the board members there so that if we have to pull this document up next year, we don't have to wonder about who's on it, and we can just pull that up and say, oh, okay, that was the board that was standing at that time. So I'm asking if we could list the board members that were there, and that way we have their names right on that paper.
Perfect.
No problem.
We talked about
okay.
that.
Okay, and then on section three on E, there was an issue concerning the ranch house batteries not having enough charge for the winter use. Did we ever talk about farther? Did we ever come up to any conclusions? Or I'm not quite sure how that was resolved. Or was it resolved? And if it's not, I'd like to know, like, we didn't do anything further. Do we have anything else to do on that?
Well, no. That's Paul. What did we... You mentioned that you were having trouble, but I don't know that it was a...
It's ongoing. We're trying to figure out what's going on. If it's the panels, if it's the batteries... We're still trying to...
The diagnosis of the exact problem hasn't been made yet.
Okay, yeah, just kind of left it open on that line. I'm like, I don't remember if we did anything or if we needed to do anything. Okay, and section 4A, there at the very last two sentences, a $2 fee per day per person for any reservation was introduced. Question, should we stay status quo or have an increase in charges? And then it says, Phil Hall, Joe, Robert, and Jody felt an increase was necessary. Leland and Bob Allen felt it should stay status quo. But as written, it appears that Phil, Joe, Robert, and Jody were in favor of status quo. It kind of looks reversed because of the order of the sentence. I just wanted to switch that around or make it more clear that it was Phil, Joe, Robert, and Jody felt that the increase was necessary, and Leland and Bob Allen felt that it should stay status quo.
Check.
Yeah, we can clarify that. That's fine.
Okay, it just looks like confusing. And then section 4D. The ending tally of the vote, Phil Hall, Bob Allen, Robert Musco, Leland Gentry, yes, and then Jody and Joe abstained. I'd like to add that Jody and Joe abstained due to perceived conflict of interest. So it wasn't like we are just not wanting to vote on that. We abstained because of perceived conflict of interest.
That's no problem.
And that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jody. Well, with those clarifications in mind, then I'll
change those and then send them on to Van Screen so he can post them on the website.
Very good.
Okay.
And I do have I do have a printed copy of that, Candy, so I can just email it to you and just insert the words if you like or however.
She'll take care of it.
Okay.
All right, so one more reaffirmation vote of what we voted on already. All those in favor, then, with these clarifications, please raise your hand. And are you in favor of that, Jody?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we're good.
Did you raise your hand?
I did. Couldn't you see me?
Okay, we'll move to number three, Ranch Report, Paul and Nancy.
I'll report my part first.
Tell us if you can't hear, Jody.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
So, I have been doing ex-service mattresses for the garden cabin. I kind of decided to do like a plan for each year. Pick a cabin, work on that cabin, dump the most of the money into that cabin each year.
Did you discuss that with Joe?
We discussed it just recently after I...
That's what she did.
After
it.
I did it. Well, we did discuss mattresses. We knew that I already... We discussed that the garden cabins had to have new mattresses. That was within a board meeting even that we talked about it.
Did I recall the last board meeting we discussed purchasing 20 mattresses?
We didn't need 20 right now. I don't think that we
got.
We don't have the
money.
Someone
with
$20,000 for mattresses. We don't have the money to buy those mattresses.
We talked about it, and then trying to get a
plan.
Yeah,
get a plan to purchase.
So,
okay. Well, I'm not going to badger you, but go, so I'm just going to let you go ahead with your report. I've got a little more information I want to share.
Okay. So I got mattresses for the garden cabin. New pillows for the garden cabin, new bedding for upstairs. I got, waterproof mattress pads to protect the mattresses. Not the plastic zip-around kind, but, you know, actual mattress pads that are waterproof. And then they ran out of them, so I have to get a couple more just so I have, if they soil, one I can change it out with another waterproof one. And then, I got the pots and pans for cabins 2, 3, and 4 because they needed them. They needed them last year, but I didn't have the money last year to do those two. And I got them on sale at Sears, cheaper than I got them at Costco last year. And let's see. And then we've been sanding down the outside furniture for the garden cabin. You know, the furniture that's on the porch, and just put waterproof varnish stuff on it, whatever you call it. You know,
stadium
and like that. Okay. That's my
part. I was surprised we needed 10 coffee pots after we just went through last year and had everything up to speed, I thought.
I didn't have a coffee pot. I had to pull it out of another cabin to give them a coffee pot in the cabin that they stayed in. We had like one. I don't know which one had a coffee pot. There might have been one or two that had a full set of coffee pots. There's pieces in there. You know, there's like the pot, or there's the pot and there's guts, so the guts don't fit that pot. And so I just bought coffee pots. That's what else I did. I got coffee pots for this.
There's one item in the cabin that people want.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, we had a guy before come and want a teapot. Boiled his water, and I'm like, huh. No, first out a teapot.
I was just caught off guard when I thought, well, we had it all set up at Dale's reunion. I thought we were pretty much fairly status quo on that, and all of a sudden, I saw it after I read this, it caught my eye. But anyway,
Most of you guys know we got a considerable amount of moisture with the ranch. The road, Scooter Paw Road, the headquarters, which Leland will probably discuss a little more about the condition of the Scooter Pond. But, you know, the headquarters is good, and Meadow Canyon to Broad Hall is good from where I plow. But throughout the ranch, still, it's a little early to me. I've had a few emails, you know, saying, hey, we'd like to go find we'd like to GPS our corners. And I emailed back, unless you snowmobile in, you're probably not going to get there for a little while. So it's still a little early for that. A couple of weeks ago, it was sunny and 70, and I considered taking the snowplow off and putting the brush hog on and getting going. But someone told me, you know, winter's not over. But the weather was so nice. I was getting spring fever, and, you know, I was telling Nancy, hey, let's get the store going. And, you know, she says, you know, we still have couple more months of winter.
So actually, he said, I want to just store this in the store, and I had it come apart because I thought, no, we have to get the store ready. You can't be putting stuff in it. I got to clean it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized there was 3 months before the store opened.
So there was a lot of good time to do a lot of things right there. We rearranged a little bit of the mercantile, the store. I got some things with the travel advisory board. For the travel commission for King County. I got some nice posters to put up on the wall and some nice visitor places to go. Get one of those brochure bats. And I kind of really want to set the store up maybe to make some money this year with some, I think more and more people are coming to be interested in, you know, a few groceries here and there that's available. So worked on that. The trailer, the dump trailer, the suspension on it was broken, so perfect time to tear that apart, and I rebuilt it with new slipper springs. And I had an issue with the compressor last year. We put a new motor on it, but still didn't work. So I ended up buying just the compressor part, not the tank and the motor, but just the compressor part. We kind of rebuilt that whole thing. So this little break in the weather that we had was kind of beneficial to get a few of these projects done. You know, for the last couple of weeks, it's been kind of in survival mode. You know, when you're in snow like that, it's, you know, you're not going to town. You're not doing anything but flying yourself out.
I have t-shirts if you want to see.
We have a lot of animals, so the kids and aunties shoveling for the animals, just trying to get the snow kind of cleared just so it'll protect the road. Had so much snow in, I think it was 48-hour period, where it broke a lot of the trees at headquarters right in front of the store.
Oh, my God.
You know, big branches like this came down. And, in fact, they're actually still kind of in the snow right there. They kind of just plowed and kind of pushed it to the side. A big section of the tree came down right at headquarters.
They get their crash in the
night. Can I do this, guys? Let me call for about a 2-minute recess so I went over and give this fellow some instructions, and you can show us the pictures of some. I'll just give it to you guys right now.
I can't.
Yeah.
water heater. It's about time to change it out. So.
In 08 and 09, we replaced
Supplies the same
Ford or, you know, up north or whatever. So we try and, you know, in this clearing where you can't get up through the ranch very much, we're just trying to fix it. So if you look at the budget, it does look like we spent a considerable amount of money, but this is just that time of year. It happens every year.
Liam has a question on that. How much do you think we're saving right now? Because I noticed here in St. George, prices jumped about 40 cents in the last week.
We got fuel at
some stations. What's probably taking money where he's coming out?
We got fuel at 235? I think when we got it.
No, halfway.
No, it was like 2 or something.
Was it?
We got 209 delivered.
Oh.
So, and it was in that clearing. Normally, we don't have a truck come out there.
Yeah.
Normally, it's in March, April. But, hey, you know, the road was clear. They said they'd do it, so we did it.
And we did it right before it snowed. Yeah. I was like, okay, we have good roads. You guys need to come, like, now. Or, and so they did. We made arrangements to get there the next day.
So I have a couple requests for the board to consider, just in closing. One is the road from the road into headquarters. There's no road base there anymore. And the road going to the generator shed and the our main water vault out by the generator where the well, the pump and everything is. Makes it really difficult when we get any kind of moisture to get out there.
Where's your nearest source for your road?
Our pit.
Okay. Yeah.
So I would recommend hiring out, you know, somebody with a truck and to bring some material in. I can grade it. I can grade it in. But ever since we've been there, it's always been an issue, and it. There used to be some kind of rock there, but now I almost can't get to the generator to turn it on to pump water or do anything out there without putting it for low and just really kind of walking through. I mean, it's 24 inches
deep.
So that's one. And then another one, if you see on the agenda, talks about sign for ranch. I have two proposals. One is... you know, when you come off the hill into Deer Springs, there's a little tiny tin sign that says Deer Springs Ranch. Going kind of a long distance. Kind of a sign saying you're on Deer Springs. I've been looking around in rock, and I found a rock. When you drove in the driveway right here, the big red rock, the thin red. That sandstone. That stuff's pretty expensive, but I actually found a huge one of the size of my truck for $300. And I priced around that same rock. It probably is.
Where is that rock?
In Colorado City. So.
Probably cost you $400 to get it up here.
Probably. So, my request is, you know, this rock, I talked to some other people, the same size rock is about a $12,000 rock. So get a good deal on a rock and to place it right past the cattle guard on the right. And I don't know if Joe or somebody could do it, but to kind of cut out some steel, paint it black, and kind of screw it onto this rock. Or carve in Deer Springs Ranch and really kind of make it kind of a nice space as you enter Deer Springs. This is kind of out there. I know it's you know, something extra. We can take it out of headquarters budget, but I really like the fact of people coming down and knowing where they're at and saying, you know what, I'm proud to be out here. This is nice.
So you would like rock, sign, or whatever you can. Again, maybe I need to mention this. You're coming up on Snowball Road. When you turn into the ranch,
oh,
there's that whole
yeah,
big thing.
Yeah.
And as you go a little further, there's the gate that's to the headquarters. Is that where you're coming?
Oh, no. When you come off the hill, if you go.
Okay.
Coming down into Deer Springs. Juniper Hill that's on the left.
First caliber.
And the first caliber there, there's a little tin sign, little white thing. It's probably been up there for 20 years. My future plan is to have one of those rock signs there, and then the headquarters sign in the archway. But then when you come around, you get to Meadow Canyon, there's that whole hodgepodge of signage. I have another one right there. Deer Springs, Meadow Canyon, whatever.
How big is this rock?
About the size of my truck.
Okay. Well, here's my first impressions. I see the road base as a necessity.
I have one more. So the sign that is at the archway, it says horse ride, it says cabin rentals, kind of an outdated sign.
The newer what?
Oh, no, no, no. The one to the left of it, probably you don't even recognize it.
Oh, it's old, the old, old.
It's old. So I had this made up, and this is more of an updated version of what's there. And we can have that printed on a vinyl, on a 4x8 vinyl, UV-rated type poster deal. Putting it on a 4x8 sheet of plywood and kind of trim it out with some cedar. A sign like that is $65.
My first inclination is if we're advertising lot sale,
this is just
the realtor, if he wants to be girl, favorite sign.
Do you mind when you're done passing that over?
I like the information.
Something like this, where in a couple of years, if some things change, and we do like a big horse ride, Dutch oven type chuck wagon, or we do more family reunions and this and that, we can kind of change the sign out real, real simple.
I think, okay, so that informational signage.
You get that done in?
It can have quality printing. And I've already had the bid of, I think it's $65 for the vinyl.
Can you put it with a cedar post?
What I would do is the sign that's already there, I would screw a 4x8 sheet of plywood on, put that on it, and then trim it out with some cedar to match the archway.
Okay, so those are three kind of things. Anything else?
That's it.
Let's talk about it, Jason, for just a minute. I think they're all great ideas, and I'll get my two cents, and then you guys pipe in. And, my take on it is, like I said, the road base, getting to the generator or into the headquarters, that's got to do kind of thing. And you might call up some of the people who work for us, like Alan, or, I mean, this is,
right.
You know,
right.
Yeah. I'm kind of speaking for him. He's going to do the final word on this. A couple of ideas across, but I'm sure.
Yeah, I have two or three people. I've got two people. And there's other people that are
the rock thing? I love rocks too. You know, I think that's a cool idea. But I don't think just being a little conservative that we should spend that kind of money. I love rocks.
Well, now that I told you where the $300 rock is,
I mean, I got six rocks here. So I'm going to leave my comment at that right there. On informational signage, I think that's a great idea. My question would be now, if somebody said, okay, there are lots for sale here, who do I call? What would you say?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The store, the Mercantile, has been a big hub for information regarding lots. So having a sign that I don't have to stand there and hand out a card saying, hey, we have information available at the store. And so you walk into the store and there's...
So do we make it available to all any realtor that
wants to? It's sitting there. No. Well,
yeah, I have asked all the people that I know. I think Kathy has her card in there, and she has information in there. The only other realtor that puts her information in there is Lynette. And I have asked everybody and told them to put their, and I will display their information.
Ask the Clarksons and all that. They have the opportunity.
Yes. Oh, and then we have, Dale has information cards in there that you can, they write their name and it's, you know, phone number, email address or whatever, and Dale comes and gets. So everybody has the opportunity.
As long as it's a fair, open thing, I feel okay about that. I do feel like, $65 is a lot of money. Nice. I think. So,
what if we look down the road to the big rock?
The rock's a great idea. I think we ought to research it out.
What if I got it and had it delivered? Because I can work out a deal to have it out there. Now, to have it set up and everything is different.
You're sounding like my wife on a deal. I love it. Rock.
I price check rocks.
It might be a great price. For $300, we move it another $400 or $500. That's still $700.
What if I could just get the rock for $300 to the range?
Well, that's still $300. We need to consider that. I frankly love it, but I don't know. Well, when we start talking about cabins and stuff they need in them,
I think it's a little bit
better. I'm kicking $100 toward that $300.
I hear $100. I'll kick in $100.
There we go. There's two.
Any 25?
Joey, you're not a silly pressure, are you?
Joey, once? We didn't get it out there.
Right.
Okay.
Could we put it in the newsletter? Like, we would like to do this?
Very good idea.
Okay. Yeah. You know, donations.
Yeah. So, you know, winter time is a good time for us to kind of, like, see different things and kind of, you know, I personally don't like that little white sign because me, I really like Deer Springs and I kind of want to show it off to the world. And when people come off that hill,
I
can see some nice signage like, wow, you know, this is really nice.
I don't think I've ever seen this sign. We got one over in Florida. I noticed it once in a while.
Wintertime is just a good time for us to sit back and see kind of the needs and some different ideas. But I'm glad you...
Any other comments on these three proposals from you guys?
I'm in favor of the road being repaired to the headquarters, specifically there, and also the generator. The sign I like, I just do a little more research on it, find out maybe the
this type of sign.
I'm in favor of this sign also, but I think we have to do some brainstorming and find out what exactly what we want to put on there.
This was just something.
Yeah,
we
good
came
start.
Up with. I actually had a friend
start.
Of mine design that. It's going to look like a wood type background.
We get the rock there, we can figure out the sign.
Yeah.
A lot of big helicopters go over.
I have something else that I've been working on is, you know, the informational books in the cabin,
right.
The reminders that are in the cabin. I also have been like redoing those, like rewriting information, new information that we didn't have in it before, and I've gathered a few little maps and whatever that were in them before, and then I think in 2 weeks, I think Linda and I are getting together and actually putting all my stuff in.
Good.
A lot of information about how to light the lights and how to, and what to do if this happens.
And how to get on the internet and when you can and how you'll get booted off if you do the wrong thing and,
Does our gravel have to be crushed before we can lay it down?
Not necessarily.
No small stuff.
I mean, you can pick out the boulders.
The work that we did going over to Cropper.
It might still be there. The
work that we did over at Cropper was all stuff from the pit. There's some bigger stuff in there.
Yeah, we did a lot of it with just
Do you want to say something?
The vinyl sign, $65. We just maybe need to, I see no problem doing that. The base work, we need to figure out the cost on that for the road. And then the prop we'll put on for the newsletter.
Could we make, like maybe by the next board meeting, or at the end of this one, if you guys can, the information that can go on that sign, so that by the time we open that sign up.
I like this just the way it is. Anybody want to subtract or add?
It's good.
I've changed it 100 different times with different things on it. And like I said, when we start doing...
Are you awake over there, Brett?
I'm sorry?
Are you awake? He is.
I think it looks good.
Advertising is not heavy. I should say, ask for that.
Joe brings up one good question, and it has to do with the hotel and license. We say, where's this?
So Perry says cabin rentals. How about if we just said ask about our cabin? Therefore, we can't be accused of.
Well, it's a cabin rental for you and you, your members.
Yeah, but it's not for non-members.
So we're advertising to the public. Yeah. That's what we're non-profit. I don't want to get in a
sinkhole here. Ask about cabins.
Or just a cabin.
Or just the filing. Available.
But if we use the word rental, we may open up a can of worms with legalities there.
Is it on there already? Cabin rentals is on there.
Yes. And no matter how you put it, cabin rentals, cabins, lodging, one word in.
Lodging.
It sounds good, but you can tell them these things are available to our members. If you want to see what our ranch is like, on occasion we can rent to outside people, but I'll do it on a basis. Have to be careful.
With every time we rent a cabin to somebody, we tell them that.
That's a lot.
That's just my thought.
So what do we just put? Lodging?
I like lodging.
Lodging
is an honest.
Okay.
Yeah. I did.
You have lodging, but you have to explain how.
Then they'll go in and talk to
them. So, on the bottom it says cabin sites and lots for sale. Is that okay?
That's okay because we refer to a realtor now.
Anyway, that after the sign has been made, make it look nice and be able to add something to it, like, you know, how they have the hook things, the chains hang, or something to put on there, like if you had horseback rides. Instead of making another sign or adding to it, is there something that could be...
How easy or hard to add to it?
The thing about this is if we do change, in a couple of years, the direction of the ranch is different. This is a $65 vinyl sign.
True.
You just, put a new sign up.
Keep moving on here. I'd like to know if there's if anybody wants to...
Can I have input from the treasurer, please?
Oh, yes, Jody. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting about you because you're so invisible.
Sure.
Just raise your hand.
You know, and I can't follow the conversation as far as who's saying what and where there's a pause, so I don't know where to break in sometimes. Okay, so I'm okay. I think we underspent on the roads last year, so we definitely need to spend more money on the roads. So I'm good with the needing the base and getting that and the generator. I think the $300 for a rock, I agree with Phil. I think it's $300 could be better spent on something else that's more like a frill, and we all like frills, but we really can't afford frills. The sign at the archway, I kind of agree with Joe. I think we need to keep off the rental part of it and cabins and maybe, I don't know, whatever you guys decide on that one, but just I think we need to keep the rentals off of it. And I like Candy's idea where you have like that little wood-swinging sign and you can just add on wood or vinyl, you just add on plaques as the year goes to know what you're doing that year. That's a cool idea, and then you don't have to redo them all the time. That's it.
Okay, thanks. Well, then, Jody, we're going to take a vote here.
I'll make the motion.
Hey, Bob's going to make a motion.
That we decide on it today.
What?
Vinyl sign?
Yeah, the vinyl sign.
Would one word change?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll second his motion.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
I didn't look at it that close. Why can't we just take cabin rentals off? It says upper cabins or lower cabins.
Yeah. That's why they got the meat says cabin sites and lots for sale.
Yeah. So yeah, we could take that off. Okay. With that amendment, everybody cool? That was a good idea, Nancy, thanks. Is okay?
Yep.
Second, everybody in favor?
All right. All right.
Are you okay with that, then, Johnny?
Yes, thank you.
See that hand trying to come up through there, but okay, here we go. Go on.
Do you want to make a motion about the road being?
Yeah, what's the cost of that? We need to. Because we're using our own pit.
Yes.
A lot, you know, this could be contract services, it could be roads. You and I, if it's been voted on, it's just you and me come up with our budget.
Yep, right, that's fine.
That's part of the budget. We don't need to vote on that, but doing the road base is part of the budget already.
How much distance are you looking at covering? Out to the well, it's a quarter mile.
From the
house,
the old archway to the house, or, you know, to probably past the chicken coop right in there is probably 80 yards. And then from the house to the generator is probably a quarter mile. Yeah.
Behind a
picket,
do that, or you wouldn't have to pay somebody from the outside. You got the voter to do it, and
you've
got
a
dump trailer,
you
can go and
just.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do on that
set,
we can talk about this later.
So, you guys work out the mechanics, our charge to you is always do it for as cheap as you can. Within reason, I mean, it doesn't make sense to pick it up.
Can I add two things just in closing real quick?
Yeah.
One is we purchased a first aid kit, and I'm actually in the process of getting a prescription for an EpiPen. So this first aid kit, you know, we're going to put it in the newsletter saying, you know, we are first aid certified, CPR certified, but we're not kind of a go-to. If you're dying, you need to go to the hospital. Sometimes our phone works, and sometimes it doesn't. So, like, coming to headquarters, you know, we can administer some kind of first aid, but I don't want people thinking that we're going to save their life. You know, they can come to the house, we can try and call out and call an ambulance. But if we have an EpiPen and we have a glucose gel and some different things to where, you know, if somebody's really having a hard time, we could.
It's like on the airlines, they can't give it to you. You can say it's available to your.
Right. So I put in the page that I made for that in the book. I said we have a first aid kit.
We have things available.
It's an emergency kit. If you want Band-Aids, buy them at the store. You know, it's not for that. It's an actual emergency kit. This is where it is. I told him it's in a red bag in the mudroom of the ranch house. You can't miss it. I mean, you can go in and grab it. If that would have to be someone's head, and they go out in the woods and their kid falls and breaks their arm, there's a splint in there. They can splint their kid's arm before they go down the awful road.
You know, we had somebody fall off their roof. It was kind of a bad deal. you know, certain things happen. It's just nice to just do a little something. You know, this is for the members. And so that's one. And then second is the stickers are on order for this year. New updated stickers. They're going to be a bright blue.
Okay.
For vehicles?
For vehicles and ATVs. It's just going to be one sticker. ATVs and vehicles.
This is for Homer?
Homer.
So they, when we drive by them, they have kind of a clue that they're those.
You know, the yellow stickers that we got in 08?
Yeah.
Some lots have sold, but people still have the stickers in their cars. So it's just a new updated sticker. That's all.
I'm just going to throw this out as some information, too. When we talked about what might work or not. I was approached electronic guru kind of guys. They happen to be putting a major tower up in order.
just driving from Colorado City on around to Nab, and there's an Indian reservation in that place with all the
pipe
springs, and back in there is a little community of
Moccasin.
On the highest mountain, Moccasin Mountain, they're putting a major tower that brings all communication from this side of the world to that tower, and from that tower, top of my hill, you know, it was a straight shot. I put in touch with Van, see what the possibilities are, but instead of having a minimal system, a limited bandwidth, blah, 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 the rough estimate would be to put up a tower and have powerful enough transmitters for a power mount. Top of my hill, about $1,000. I'm not mentioning this is something the ranch would do. Probably would be. Vance has kind of a group of people that have heard of that. It would be kind of a description thing that those interested in share costs, and then we would have powerful communication and everything electronically we want as far as email, internet, whatever, you know.
I can't do their homework on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a possibility that might come about. And I'm just throwing that out as an informational thing. And I've charged Vance to ask all the right questions and to see what they're really talking about. And that's
I think they talked to me about that, like, before we moved.
Yeah, they had other thoughts and ideas and ways of doing it. But now, now it's or their company for that tower is reality. And
hey, Phil?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, follow up to that. I sent Ben an email. Ben is your guy you're talking about, for everybody else who doesn't know. Some maps, some thoughts about, you know, where our high spots are and things like that. And, I'm just waiting to hear back from him, so that's where things are.
Okay, great. All right, I couldn't see you, and I forgot about you, too.
Okay. Let's move, let's go back, then,
so we're good. In motion on the rock?
The rock understanding is we're not going to, okay. I don't know that we need a motion, but the rock understanding is,
if I can get some outside funding.
We're going to put it in the newsletter.
Yeah.
You and I are going to put up our money.
Yeah, I'll probably put up.
Okay, so I think we're getting close. We'll just try to keep going on this. And,
yeah, I'm putting a tally.
And we'll make it a private funded.
And who just said that? Robert?
Yeah.
Leland.
Me?
No.
I have to talk to the boss first. There's my 100. She may be willing. I'll talk to her.
And can Treasurer make a statement?
Sure.
Okay. I would like to put out there that if the rock is going to be financed from donations, make sure we have the full 300 before it's purchased. Thank you.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. I'm not.
Yeah. That's our understanding. So,
Brent, 20.
Okay, we got 240 so far.
Ooh, that was dust that came out of that wall.
Okay.
Well, I think it should have a memorandum on the bottom who donated. The board of
this rock provided by.
Do you guys like that idea about some nice?
That should be another topic
okay.
How we do it.
Okay. I'm on the right track.
Okay, let's keep moving along here. We're now down to mining and rules and regulations and another topic. And so, there are some other copies up here. Some of you don't have the copies.
Boy, and Phil, I'm kind of at a disadvantage here. I don't have copies of the final draft that Linda did. Did she finish that?
Yeah, you know what? I will go in. We'll take a 30-second, 1 minute recess. I'll go in and send you that right now. Are you by your computer so you can get that?
I am, and then I just need a little bit of time to read it real quick, you know.
Well, basically, it's the same stuff that's been going back and forth. Let me preface this whole thing then. The rules.
Well, you know, that's okay, Phil. I do trust you guys. So, yeah, just send it on over, and then I'll have a complete copy. And
okay. At our last board meeting, we went through some difficult decision times and made decisions on how and what we were going to do with the last few items that we hadn't agreed upon for the rules and regs. And we voted on that and accepted it. So, to my best ability, I incorporated those back in the rules and regs in red. And we had copies that I sent out to the board. And I got a number of correction requests. Mostly they were clarification things. There were a few items where it was flat out a change or a major addition. And I'll say that right now we're looking at these rules and regs. That last board meeting with a word or two here that clarifies and not a major change. We can take the time if somebody feels strong about a point and amend further, but I think we need those, if there are any changes, that be part of a separate time and place. Otherwise, we can keep amending these rules and regs for the whole year and get lost in the trafficking of doing that. So, for the sake of at least getting the basis to the members, I feel like I want to get this advance, and I want everybody to, what she's done is taken the red out, just clarified Linda has the English, the spelling, and so I'm handing this out by way of wanting you to read it, and if you see a grammatical error, we want to know about it. If you have strong feelings about a major change, for instance, this would be a major change for me in the construction area. Candy's brought this up, and so did Jody. Adding verbiage that has to do with members, whether they have to notify the board or not concerning where they're placing a shed or a container, or I think that's a fairly significant change, and that's not included in this for today. My feeling is, if somebody puts a container across on their property and over into the next lot owner's property, those two lot owners are going to have to solve that problem pretty much themselves. And I don't like too much intrusion, like most homeowners association things are to me. So I don't want to over-regulate in that area. But that's my own feeling. So I think that's another struggling area, but that's, I would suggest for another day, we spend a lot of time on that and have to, and we don't just add this, just be, that to me is a pretty big change. Candy, you have any other areas that were major changes that we talked about?
Well, I wonder if just yours, my concern was if somebody buys a 40-foot container and puts it in an area, even if it's in the middle of their property, and it changes the water flow that washes you out or you out, then we should, the ranch should have the final say, hey, it's got to be either turned or it's got to be lifted. Let the water go where it's supposed to go. We shouldn't be able to put a structure in that'll change water flow to somebody else's property. That's what I'm concerned about. Other than that, they can put it anywhere they want.
You probably wouldn't put it in the water flow area.
Well, they may not know that if they're new to the area.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I was concerned with.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us have been there for 20 or 30 years, and we do know that you get a new guy up there, and all of a sudden he just plop puts it down, and the water comes down, and next thing you know, you don't have a fence or part of your foundation's gone. That's only my concern.
Yeah.
I recognize your concern, Joe. I feel that, again, that would be that this area needs to be crafted with more than just a few suggestions. And yet, everybody assumes some liability for what they do on their properties and affects the others. So whether it's a statement that says,
maybe that's
a statement that says, we admonish you to be careful of drainage issues, whatever, and make a list, and you need to know that you'll be held responsible if you disrupt another property owner next to you because of your poor decision. That might be the way to handle it. Otherwise, then, we're getting stuff into the board all the time. We're having to send somebody out. We're going to have to figure out everybody's problem for them. I don't want to figure out everybody's problem for them. You know? I want to make sure they know they're liable, but I don't want to tell them how to build their shed or how to do this through little things. It might be a bigger thing. Like,
I think probably you're right there, Bill. I think most likely, Bill, what would happen if it's somebody called up and ordered something like that and say, this is where my lot is, go drop it off. The guy who dropped it off may put it there. But I think most lot owners would be responsible.
But if they're not, by putting them on notice that these things can happen, that might be the way to handle it.
I'm not concerned about the visibility of it. If it's an eyesore, so be it. But as long as it doesn't change the water flow to do damage, is just what I'm worried about. Other than that, I'll live with the eyesore.
So for right now, I don't want to solve that problem. I'm just proposing to add the thing and I'm leaving it open. And if you think I'm wrong or that it's a simple thing to make a few words here, you can make a motion and take a vote. I open it for that if you want. Yeah.
Just reviewing it, we did go over a couple of things. If you turn to the third page, it's 1.08. And I don't know how the board feels about that. The lines right before 1.09, it says a late check-in between 9 and 11, or it's a $25 charge and a $75 charge. Are we holding to that? That they are going to be charged if they have a later check-in to the ranch house to the cabin, and then they have to pay those charges?
Yeah, we decided they should be held to that. And it's up to the discretion of the manager if they want to take that call.
It says an assisted late check-in.
Yeah, assisted. That means...
So that's the key, an assisted?
Yes. By leaving keys for somebody and they come later on, no charge.
There's people that come in all the time that say, could you just have, we're going to be late. You know, they come from Vegas or wherever. You know, we're going to be late. Can you just put the key on the counter?
And there's no charge. There's no problem with that.
This is like, but we also have people that don't know where they're going and knock on my door at 2 in the morning and say, where's so-and-so's cabin? And I'm like, what?
Or we don't know how to light the lamps.
Okay. I just want a clarification.
Right.
And then on 1.10... did we say, it's the first paragraph, this applies to all people 6 years of age and under, older? I thought it was 3. Did we change it?
We had one that lists 3 and another thing that lists 6.
Right, but I kind of thought we discussed that and it was 3. Was the idea.
I'm trying to find that.
On 1.10?
On 1.10, it's the last paragraph. Cabins are equipped and furnished to accommodate 6 to 22 people, depending on the size of the cabin. To be a charge of $10 per person, 3 and older per week in the party. And then it says this applies to all people 6 years of age and older, including the same. What are we saying here?
Right. I think we should have maintained the 3 there.
That's what I thought. So
yeah,
that was just
a
check.
I think that is a correction that slipped by. Everybody see that, agree on that?
Where's it at on 1.10?
In the middle of 1.10.
Right here.
Right below where it says $2 per person per day per charge, this applies to all.
So it should be 3 and older.
It coordinates with the sentence above that.
Should say 3 again.
It
Is this something that I could put in the blinders, maybe? Make copies and put a copy in each blinder?
I think under, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, on that 110, in my copy from the last meeting, we crossed off that sentence that says this applies to all people. We crossed off 6 years of age and older, including, and just left it, this applies to all those who stay in tents, campers, et cetera. That's what I had last on my notes.
Oh, you're jogging my memory. I think that's what we did want to do.
There was something different in there.
Yeah, we crossed that whole thing out. We just put, this applies to all those who stay in tents, campers, et cetera. And we took out the last line, too.
Yes, you're right. So I'll show the physical copy here to everybody. This applies to all people. Who stay in tents, campers, etc. But we put there in the same party who stay in tents, campers, etc. at the cabin.
We neglected to do that, Phil. But that makes sense.
At the cabin.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because if they're in a tent off on their own property, that doesn't apply. So at the cabin.
Right.
Reword that in there. So the 603 doesn't even apply in there anymore.
Right.
Correct?
Right. Okay, so everybody let's take a pause while everybody reads through this looking for things like we just found, okay? And
did you guys email me a copy or?
Oh, you know what, Renee? I'll have Renee go do it right now.
Okay.
My computer, Linda, it's from Linda last night. She sent one and then she said, oops, I left on a verse and sent it again. That's what I want you to send to Jody.
Does Vance want a copy too? Or? Vance want a copy as well?
Vance, and send one to Vance too.
Vance Green.
Yeah, you start typing Jody, hers will come
and
up.
And Vance?
Okay, yeah, my wife's on the way to do that for you, Jody.
Okay.
Question? Yes. When people make reservations online, would it be so they can set to have a little checkbox that says, I agree to these terms and conditions contained in my room?
That's one thing that we talked about doing. With that and a whole liability waiver form.
Otherwise, there's no teeth in anything.
Right.
We
have not come up with that.
We had talked about doing, when the assessments go out, doing a thing saying,
I have received the rules and regs and I understand and agree that I will be home.
Yeah.
And then when they come and check in to go to spend their week there, they have another liability waiver thing, you know, things like that, like it falls off a horse or jumps off the porch and breaks his leg and blah, blah, blah. You know,
and on membership, Rand needs to sign the same thing.
Yes, absolutely, even more so. So, who is our, Johnny, everything seems to fall on you, legal committee thing, huh? Who is our legal...
You and me, Phil.
Well, I can send you, I'll have Renee send you what we use when we have family, even our own family, come to our place for a week. We have a liability form that an attorney wrote up for us. And so when I have my children's in-laws, and they want to bring them up, they all have to sign a copy of that thing. So that's pretty good. So I'll send you that. That'd be a good starting point for you. Okay.
Okay.
We probably still have copies of the waivers that we had, like when we first came here.
Nancy's saying we did have waiver forms.
We had waiver forms for ATV riding and horses, and they wouldn't.
Well, those are pretty specific.
This
is for general. Renee? Can you send our liability form to Jody? Our liability.
I got on 2.01.
Okay, everybody, look at Joey. Look, well, you don't have it yet, but you're getting. Look at 2.01. Joe has something here.
Basically, on the bottom two sentences, where it says non-DSR members will be charged $10 per night. Camping is limited to 14 days. In the last sentence, with an additional charge of $5 per day if the shower facilities are requested. That's an awful big demand to put on our managers to find out. I would think we should just leave it at $10 per night, which we haven't been getting in the past, and just eliminate that $5 charge.
You guys made that suggestion when the email came from Joey, and I thought we should leave it in. Here's why. Not so much it costs per shower. It costs $2 to $3 at least, doesn't it? So we're not charging on minutes.
No, but...
But the $10 per night is just kind of covering, hey, you don't just come here and camp out anywhere you like. It's not a total KOA thing of $30 or $40. We're still giving them quite a deal. And then they have to clean and maintain these showers. And it does cost us $2 or $3 every time they take a shower. So it stays in there for the rest of our
Well, okay. Maybe I've overread it here, but $5 per person per day, I think it should say $5 per campsite per day. So if you have a campsite with three people on it, they have to pay $5. But it's going to cost, you're going to charge a family $15 for three showers?
Yeah, it's a towel, it's a soap, it's I can't bring the whole towel, you don't think?
I go to campgrounds and we use public showers, we got to use our own shower all the time.
Well, it's so.
I can understand them charging you $5. The dust that comes off. But everybody?
Yeah, I keep towels. I mean, they can't bring their own towels. There are people that use their members that bring their own towels. So I leave towels in there also for the members that come in and use the shower that don't have towels. They're not staying in a cabin. I leave a stack of towels and wash rags in there. I don't leave soap for them. Bring your own soap. I mean, Aaliyah sometimes leaves her shampoo in there, so.
This is not a big enough horse. I'm done kicking.
Okay. Well, I felt like, hey, you're getting a nice deal here, and our members pay for this, and why subsidize them? Well, that's why I left it in.
Well, everything costs $20.
I've got showers elsewhere. You're going to pay for.
Or what if you just charge $20 a night for them to stay there?
$20 seems like a lot, you know, but...
But they have the showers available.
Then you could make the showers part of it.
Right.
Why 20
or make it, $15 and then a little $5. It just seems like you're nickel and diamond someone is all I'm getting at. Well, yeah, I kicked that horse again, I should.
I could track, too.
So maybe if we raise the amount to stay...
Come away.
And it includes showers, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be at least, if they come camping, there's going to be at least two of them.
Well, then I don't have to watch, then we're not trying to watch, you know, we're out working, you know, doing
well,
cabins
when they come and say, we want to camp here, that's when you have a form. You should have a form that says, how many of you are there?
Right.
You want showers? Okay, there's going to be this and this and this. And they pay right then. And you don't have to watch if they took a shower.
Yeah, right.
What do we pay by feet? You and I.
For
like me, when we go take the trailer.
Yeah.
Is it $10 or is it?
$12.
It's 12.
The VA pays almost good.
Okay, I didn't want to get to, let's try to work through this quickly. I did see the economy of charging more, but Linda is the one that brought the fact that we charge too much, then people don't come out there and see our place. So we wanted to keep it minimum the charge to just camp. Then oftentimes they have their own generating, or they don't shower for a few days. But if they want these showers, maybe we could say, but if you say for shower, then... So when they check in, you've got to ask them, how many of you are there? You want showers or not? And then they understand no showers unless they pay. You know, they've got to, but they got to say,
Yeah, we want showers, and then they say no, and change their mind, so that's another thing, Tom.
$5 a shower?
Well, you could pay $10 a night for camping, and if you want to use the showers, then it's $15 a night. How many people shower?
Well, then we lose money, too. It's the cost per shower. We don't really think of it. People don't think of it, but it costs at least $3 for it.
We haven't had a huge demand for camping yet, but you know, I could see it.
And we have, we actually have a commercial that comes out as a wilderness group, not the kids, it's an adult group that comes, and they pay $6 per person per night to stay there.
I charge, they'll only be charging $10 and then they pay $5.
They don't use a shower.
I would make a motion that we leave it just as it is. Do I hear strong opposition from the horse kicking?
I quit kicking the horse, he ran off.
Yeah, a second. Hey, Maria.
Howdy.
It is. Are you okay? Did you get it? Did you get a copy?
I'm downloading it now.
Okay. Well, even if you vote no, it's passed.
We made the motion.
I missed that whole thing.
Okay, any other corrections?
Did you make the motion?
Yeah,
I did.
Can I just ask one question?
Maybe.
On point 17, C.
1.17, C.
Furnish the firewood for heating cabins. In the past, we have, but there have been a lot of
campfires.
Well, there's been that too, but there's been some board members say it's not your job to provide wood, and some board members say it is your job. There's some board members that have said you need to charge for it because it's your time.
I've gone with the feeling that this has been kind of a tradition that we do furnish the wood.
Okay.
1.17. But I'm with you that they don't haul it out and have three campfires around there.
We actually had, there were some people staying in the cabin, and we went to see them because we weren't there. We were up in other cabins when they came to check in.
Uh-huh.
And we get there, and they had a campfire outside, and the kid is running in and out of the house, bringing wood. That fast as he could call it and sit there and on the fire. And I told the dad, I said, you're going to get cold tonight because we don't supply one for your campfire and you won't burn your wood.
Okay, well, that's the right thing to do.
We had an individual burn literally a quart of wood.
Okay, anything else that comes to your view?
That's Phil? We did not get the attachment on the rules and regs. Neither Vance or I received. We've got the email, but we didn't get the attachment. Can she send that again, please?
I just forwarded the email.
Okay, we'll try again.
Okay.
Sometimes attachments don't work.
Okay, so do this. Save the attachment.
I don't have to do it on demand. I'm
sorry. Yeah. I need a break for you, huh?
Yeah. Okay, everybody in Hawaii, I'll go in and send it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm
going to
send you invoice from the address.
Who made the second on the, leaving that the way it is on camping? Phil made the motion. Who made the second?
You know,
I want one.
The healing wall for the Vietnam.
Washington.
The horrible one comes through the net this week. It did come through.
I wanted to see that.
I think not. But it'll be there for today.
Is it in?
over there at the heart of Davis on the Washington side. Just off the I-15. I think it moves tomorrow. And anyway, you know, you're coming down this hill, and you can look west and see the main road go way west. Big truck was just making the corner. We were still up on the hill. That's how many of them we were. I think they were 180 motorcycles.
Hey, you know,
I don't know what you like today. That was just the day we drove over with them. But it was kind of fun to do it.
Yeah, I
want to
see what got me was the sign. There's a truck now. You and I
think that dog.
Can you hear that backhoe in the background?
Oh, yeah. You can. Yeah. But let Phil know that we got the attachment. It came through.
I think you heard it.
Non-members must either have a member with them or be a resident of the cabin if they can go fishing. That's got to be tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that's
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, keep looking. There's a new step we put in on track. 6.10 and 6.1. All the smallest section we put that on. We put that on last board meeting because it wasn't happening. Horse riding we eliminated because we don't remember. The Hunts to Express Interest, we still don't have a
They sent a written proposal in January. And Linda said that she sent it to everybody then.
No, I don't think so.
We'll have to get it.
They sent
it in January because
they
want to start doing it
this
summer.
We'll have to get it again. Yeah,
I didn't
understand. Not been seen. By any of them. We want it, but it's got to be
And I asked, I talked to Brad's brother, who's a lawyer in Utah, and there are, he like gave me a visit here a few years ago. There's a listed site. They're really, it's just for horseback riding in Utah, you ride at your own risk for whatever steps, blah, 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 in Utah. That it's, you know that it's a dangerous thing, and as long as you have that sign posted on your property, you're free of liability, is what you told me.
That's no other
right.
So I need to follow up on that?
Yes.
Not a little bit. Approximately 2 years ago. We need to know, we need to have a liability waiver. We need to have what he's planning on charging members. And indeed, do we, by granting that him a license basically to use our area and make a revenue, keep animals there, there should be some compensation to help us for whatever the ramifications are of having animals there. So, or we have to decide if we want to subsidize it in order for members to have those rights, and we love to do it.
I have a extended Utah horse liability release for you for people to come to our house.
Okay.
I would, if you want me to send that to someone.
I would like it too, because we need it. We have only Lingard and only strings up 10 horses.
So who should I send it to?
Me. Paul. Okay. It's good. Okay, we're adding a few things here. So, Jody, I'm sure you're madly reading over it.
I'm trying to pay attention to the conversation, too, and go through that. It's really hard to hear you guys. There's a lot of background noise. I'm not quite sure if there's an airplane landing on your house or what. You must live on the airport, Phil. But also, if you're giving a list to the Hunts that want to do horseback riding, one of those other things to consider that we need to include is that, and they need to know, is that when they do the insurance policy, we need to be, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association needs to be additionally insured. And I think
yes.
That's Arizona is one of those states, as well as Utah, you ride at your own risk. However, working with outfitters that I have in the past, even signing a waiver of liability release does not clear you from court cases. It helps, but it does not stand as a, hey, you signed it, you can't be held liable. That doesn't happen. So just we'll need to have some in-depth conversations about that when it's proposed, and I'll do more digging on that as well.
All right. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm going to propose that we probably have caught the major things, and yet I'm going to propose that we take a week. This next week, it's incumbent upon all board members to read through this thoroughly at their leisure and make any final things we'll have to do by phone. Otherwise, I'd like to have Vance be able to put this on the website within a week. Now, here's the reason. And also, I'd like to make a motion that we don't retroactively apply these fees to any reservations that have already been made. That we tell Linda that from 1 week from now, as of that date, or maybe we should say April 1. We should say that'll make it simpler. April 1, and maybe electric. By April 1, that's when these fees apply to any reservations that are made. Thus, not going back. If we had been able to get this done by January, okay, but we weren't. So, does that seem reasonable to everybody? Okay. I made a motion that we apply these fees forward from April 1, and Leland has made second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. All right, we need to move on to another important item real quick here. This has to do with Holly Lindgren made a request to me that, or I might say a demand. Renee, will you find this on my phone for me? I'm going to play for you, it takes 4 minutes, his
assessment of the lease that he has. The short and long story is, he says here's $3,000, he owes him 6 years of grazing for his sheep. We'll listen to this, and then we'll take comments from all those who know yes or no about it. He reports that he has a signed copy that says all this stuff. I asked Linda last night if she knew anything about it. She thinks she has heard this and that. We'll talk about that in a minute. And she's looking for that contract, our copy. So we will listen, and then we'll discuss. Nancy remembers a few things. I'm sure Brett remembers a few things. And Linda remembers a thing or two about it. So are you ready, Renee?
Here with Phil Hall a few days before the board meeting. I'm just going to give a concise explanation of where we stand with the lease that I had with Deer Springs Ranch. When I took over managership of the ranch, it was determined by the board and their president at the time that they wanted goats to come in and handle the fire mitigation that the county or the state or someone was imposing on them. They entertained all the different options. They decided goats was the thing to do. They didn't have the money to buy the goats. So I offered to buy the goats as a herd, provided they would give me a secure lease that would extend 7 years regardless of my employment with them, so that I didn't get stuck with a herd of goats in order to take them. I worked for the ranch for a couple of years. After deciding to leave of conversation with different people, we made sure the lease states that regardless of whether I was there or not, my lease would extend for 7 years. The year that I left, they leased the ground without calling me or talking to me or anything else to Doug Hunt, who's a friend of mine. And when I came down to find a herd of cows on the goat land, I talked to Doug, and he said that he was kind of stuck there and needed to come there. And so I spoke to Larry Clarkson, who at the time was the guy who had handled both my lease and was still on the board or involved with the board. And we agreed that I would allow my lease to just pick up at the end of Doug's lease, and I took the goats somewhere else. That year would have been, I was there from 2006 to 2008, so it would have been right in there between 8 and 9. Anyway, Doug has been there for a number of years, to whatever it is now. My lease was to go for 7 years. I got 1 year of it. So as his lease comes to an end, we're interested in making sure that I at least get the next 7 years, or I also have entertained the idea of running at the same time on different ground. There's truly the goats do their best work in the places where the fire mitigation is most important, and that's Broad Hollow and Slide Canyon, and could run over there. Or if you lease to someone else, we'd have to make sure that I at least got first option for the lease before someone else did, because I can't, you know, let it go forever. But I'm trying to work with the board rather than, you know, enforce the lease and just run off whoever's on the lease. I don't want Doug to be compromised, but the Deer Springs Ranch Board does have an obligation to fulfill their contract to me. They left me in a really bad spot when they did what they did. I lost, geez, I don't know how many thousands having to sell those goats. So, anyway, I would like to make sure that I can get what is owed to me by the board without hurting anybody else any worse than we have to. That's about all I know of the pertinent information, I think. The board has a copy of my lease. I have a copy of my lease. It's pretty plain in there. So hopefully in this board meeting you'll address the issue and come up with something that will satisfy everyone. Thanks.
Okay, so just by review, for those who had a hard time hearing, Ole is saying that he had a lease, and he
has a copy, he's willing to produce it, that we agreed to so many years of whether he was working at the ranch or not. We agreed to letting graze those goats for so many years. And so then, as things changed and he left, he came back, he found the hunts were there, and we talked to the hunts, decided it was best just for the time being to not push the issue with his goats, but not lose his ability to have six more years. And he talked to Larry Clarkson about this, whenever it's time.
And Larry wasn't even on the
phone. Well, I don't think he wasn't working. But anyway, you have the gist that he feels that he wants to go back, he wants to put on Broad Hall with Slide Canyon. And here now are some other opinions. Nancy Paul remember this, and Linda remembers it too, that supposedly Ole was given $2,500 to release the rights to his lease. I had Jody went through all of the financial stuff, and so did Linda, and did not find a check written to him from the ranch for the $2,500. It may have been done privately, because I also heard that when Ole talked to Larry, it was a real sore point with Dale. And maybe Dale went ahead and got that lease with Hunts and then overlooked this. Maybe he or somebody else paid $2,500 or something. We don't know that. I tried contacting Ole to find out where you don't get paid. I could have got your lease. So I think all we can accomplish is just to be aware of it and to make inquiries, to further inquiries to Ole. Want to talk to that lease? And does he deny that he was paid $2,500? There was an issue also brought up by Nancy Paul today for a while, making piles of dead sheep, not a sheep, but goats. I did throw that in Ole's face, so to speak, by saying I heard there was a real problem with sickness, disease, and whatnot, and he claimed, well, we had cougars and things, you know, preying on our goats, but all of those goats that you had down at headquarters came from the Scoombaugh people's goats. They're not my herd. That's his claim. So, we'll hear from Paul. For, you know, Paul.
So I don't know if a lot of you guys will remember this, but when we arrived, Ole had the lease. And I don't know for what, if it was BLM ground, if it was all BLM ground, and you know, common ground at DSR. When we got there, we were picking up dead goats all over the place. Huge issue. It wasn't the goats, it was the management of the goats. Dale probably was upset because the goats chewed everything up. The goats, ask Joan and Sunshine what the goats did to their trailer. Ask some of those people who have property back there what the goats did. It wasn't, you know, the goats, it was the management of the goats. It's a huge issue. The members, you can probably go back to meeting minutes and find that the information that you need to know about talking to Ole and, you know, figuring out a deal to get rid of it, because it wasn't, oh, Ole's out now, we're bringing Doug. It was, I think there might have been a year where there wasn't anything at the ranch. But, you know, the biggest problem was the management of the goats. Ole's a nice guy, and the goats do serve a purpose. I don't know, you know, if you look at the lease with Doug Hunt, the amount of money brings into the ranch, I don't know if anybody could match that. As far as the ranch's credibility to uphold the lease agreement, as far as we know, I was there when the check was written. I was there in conversation at the table with Taylor Button, I think it's John Southwick, and Ole. There's a few people at the table at headquarters.
The witness is $2,500.
Yeah.
It may not have come out of the ranch, though. It might have been someone else.
People don't want
it. It has to be in the meeting. There has to be something in the meeting that if you'd go back.
I would look at the annual meeting for 2008 and 2009, probably 2009. And I talked only about a schedule in my kitchen. I said, doesn't it bother you that you can explain everywhere that even the animals want? I mean, birds weren't eating them, coyotes weren't eating them, people would give cash, rotting. They wouldn't.
They're starving, so they ate oak.
They were eating oak, and I told them oak is toxic, and he said, well, they sure like it. Okay, well, oak is toxic for goats. It's a common disease. You hook up things that goats eat. Don't eat them oak.
Only didn't know that?
He said, I never thought about it.
Well, it.
He had 500 goats, though. I mean,
wasn't someone else hurting the goats at that time to go to that?
They had hired somebody.
They hired somebody.
They were going for a week.
Just three quick questions. Has the board had an opportunity to review the lease?
No. That's okay. What I said. I'm just bringing it up because it just came to me. We haven't found our copy of the lease.
In the lease, generally, there's compensation for your game. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the lease, you see if he was supposed to pay the ranch X, and if he didn't, that could be a termination point. The other thing is, if it's a good lease, there should be other termination verbiage in a lease wherein the lease would be voided if the lessee did XXXXX or whatever. So, there may be a possibility that the lease could have been voided based upon some of the performance you're hearing about here.
I, from my understanding, there was a document that was signed by all parties. Only, I swear it was from Southwick, the other button, but I could be wrong.
The termination document?
Yeah. And a check was written. There has to be something in me that I remember to be a topic of discussion.
I don't know.
Okay.
It was a huge issue because of the destruction of the building.
I got anybody else? It sounds like the lease starts at 6.
Loud noise. Paul, who you said you witnessed Ollie receiving a check. Who handed him that check?
I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was John Southwick, which was the president of the board at the time.
Okay, thank you.
This was a big topic of discussion for a number of meetings at that time. Because people were upset because of the destruction the goats were making. You know, as far as the ranch, as far as DSROA is concerned, it was all taken care of and the lease was stopped. Can you hear me okay?
It's really difficult.
Let me call you on the phone.
Oh, this is good. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I got that part from the other part of the meeting, so I understood that. I just want to see who it was that gave the check, because I couldn't find it in QuickBooks at all, and that was during the time that we were using QuickBooks. So I'm wondering if Phil's not correct in that it was written by somebody else outside of DSR. So that's what I was asking, who handed him the check so we could find out more.
The number, the
the information and all the topic of discussion was brought up in meetings probably, you know, 3 or 4 months in a row. So there's got to be some kind of documentation in the meeting minutes about it.
Yes, got it. Thank you.
I mean, my opinion is, you want to see goats or you want to see longhorns?
My
is everybody still there?
We're all moving inside, Jody.
Oh, you were outside. Okay, got it. That explains a lot.
I can hear the back call. But we're moving inside.
Okay, great.
I think if 2 or 3 help me, we could probably take all that in here.
Okay, I'll get
it. We need a few guys out here move some tables out of the way, and then we'll move the little table right here.
Are we going to do this without unplugging it, Bob?
We have to unplug it.
Okay. So, Vance, we're kind of off, aren't we?
I don't know. Is there anybody else on teleconference? For a while, I had more phone numbers than made sense, but I think it was from the other end.
Oh, okay.
So I'm showing 3-4 people here, including me, but I don't know.
Okay, it sounds like they had to disconnect us to relocate inside. So do we need to call back, or he'll just call
no,
back?
No, no, they'll dial back. Hopefully they'll just dial back in. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if Phil's driving earth movers around outside or what, but.
I swear, it sounded like I thought they were inside. I'm like, oh, my God, there's a plane landing on the roof. I heard he was close
well,
to the airport.
I think
there,
where we are, is it Phil's little urban farm thing?
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, always kind of busy, I would imagine.
Oh, I'd love to see it, too. I was so looking forward to seeing it.
Well, whatever.
Another day.
Kathy just walked in here and said she was at one of those meetings where this was discussed with Ole, and we're gonna send you a quick summary. But what they need to do is get a hold of whatever paperwork and stop discussing it right now. And I think that's what Phil's trying to get at, you know?
Yeah. Nothing we can do right now until we see it, until we can go back and research it. So
the people that were involved aren't there anymore. I mean, Linda wasn't the business manager. Barbara Button was at the time. The Braytons weren't even hired yet. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they're asking people who really weren't there through all of it. So they're kind of asking information from the wrong people. But I'll send you guys an email of who you need to talk to get it straightened out.
Okay.
Oh, they're back.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Little bit weaker than you were before.
Bob, try putting that reach over into here.
Uh-oh. Sounds like they unplugged it again to move it. Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yeah. You kind of sound far away, but I can hear you.
We sound far away. We're sitting right on top of this thing.
We're sitting right on top of that mic.
Okay. Yeah. Let
I can hear you way better now.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear Phil so much, but I can hear you good now.
It's self-adjusting. It needs for you to talk to it for a while. It's getting its act together now.
All right.
Sounds good.
I'm going to propose now that we've been exposed to the problem. We know what the problem is, the issue, and we need to research this. And we'll definitely make this a decision-making thing for the next board meeting. And in the meantime, we will send information back and forth to whatever we can find, copies of leases, talk to other individuals and whatnot. So everybody feel good about that?
Yes.
All right. And then we'll leave it at that.
Will this fall under agriculture and wildlife, or is that where you want to start with this, or what?
Yes, of course. Leland. Leland is our man, but this is kind of a thing we're all exposed to, and we'll feed everybody information. I think it's going to be Leland can help us on, you know, if we are stuck with the fact that we have to let Ole come onto our ranch with goats, in that event, we'll have to have Leland's input on how and where and what, you know. But
sure.
as far as whether we have a true legal responsibility to Ole, that will be investigated by all of us, especially looking for checks and or documents, separation documents, lease documents, all of the above. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, I think this will go, we're going to lose Leland in about an hour. So, we're going to go to water resources, your area, Jody, and onto that part of the agenda. Okay, so.
Okay. And we did separate finance and water. She just has it listed there together. Do we want to go into the finance report first or the water? The water is down farther on the list.
Down farther on the list?
Yeah, it's on number 9.
Okay, let's just do that. Let's review financial, and then we'll get to that water stuff in a minute.
Sure. I'm going to cover his. Okay.
Okay. Are you on? Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Right now we have about 80% of the expected income from assessments received and hold about $95,000 in the bank. So that's good. Got the final numbers back for 2014, so I want to do a recap for the year. As you know, at the end of the year, we have our first meeting in January. I don't have all the numbers yet compiled. They need to be entered into the QuickBooks from Linda. So we've got all that put in now, so I wanted to go over a recap of how we ended up for the year. And just to break it down into segments, our total income exceeded what was budgeted by almost $12,000. That's great. We had a lot more assessments that were caught up and paid for, and with the extras that we had in place, we ended up with an extra $12,000. The total expenses exceeded what was budgeted for in the following categories. And this is what I'm giving you guys these so we can pay attention to them this year and know what to do and watch our numbers very closely in these categories. Okay, our auto expense was up by $6,400 overspent by $6,400. $5,800 of that was on the Kubota, so we know we had issues there. Cabin maintenance was up by $1,300. Fuel used in the category of red diesel and the unleaded was over by $6,500. That's really, really high. As I understood at the end of the year, we purchased gas in bulk to, while it was still lower in price, but it ended up very, very high for the year. We really, really need to watch that gas, and I'll go into that more on the 2015 budget, what's happening now. The fuel used for traveling was over by $640. tools, we were over by $800 plus. And water systems repair, we were over budget by $1,300. So these are the categories that we really, really need to pay attention to because they seem to be drawing more than what we're budgeting for. Now, whether we adjust the budget next year for the 2016 budget to accommodate, let's see what this year does for us, and then we can see if we need to make changes in those categories. Now, we do have categories that were underspent, which saved our butts from the overspent. And those categories were legal. We saved about $3,500 for the year on that. On printing and postage, we saved about $500 plus. On crop management and erosion control, we saved about $3,100. In fencing, we saved about $4,200. And this was kind of ironic. In roads, under contract services, we saved about $5,000. Now, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, we've got $10,000 budgeted for roads. We should use that every bit of it every year because, you know, there's always another road that needs done. So how we ended up not spending all the road budget was beyond me. But the bottom line of the year, we ended short by $400, bottom line. Okay, so not bad. We overspent a lot of areas. We underspent in other areas. I do want to say a note to Paul and Nancy here at the store. Ended up being in the black by $500 plus, so that was very good. This year, remember, to separate the radio purchases and sales, do not include that in your cash, your sales for the store, because that will be a whole separate entry to keep a track of that, and we don't want it diluting what the store makes. So you did a real good job there. We were $500 in the plus, and you only had a partial time to do that, so I think this year will be better, and kudos to that. Okay, so moving, does anybody have any questions about the 2014 before I move on to 2015?
So overall, the pluses and minuses, it was your last thing, is that we ended up $500.
$400.
$400.
Short.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, right. is before the accountant does the magic on the tax and does, you know, when now goes in there and he'll change categories and, you know, put things to depreciation and stuff like that. That is just what's on our bottom line on the book. So once he does his magic, what I call the accountants do their magic, that will be a different number when it goes into the tax or however he works that. But that's what our bottom line is in actual cash expenditures. Okay, anything else on the 2014?
No.
Okay, moving on to 2015. To date, we've collected about 81% of our expected assessment income. That's pretty good. Cabin furnishings. Okay, here's where it gets a little tricky. Nancy, we've already spent $3,000 of the combined amount budgeted for maintenance, furnishings, and supplies. We only have a $9,000 budget, so that's a third. As I understand from your report, you're allocating those parts of the budget to go to improving the garden cabin this year, and then you'll do different cabins every year until they're completed. But right now, that looks like that's it. Draw the line, no more stuff for the cabins as far as furnishings. Because we've got a little rest. Go ahead.
I don't need any other furniture. We needed to put mattresses in the garden cabin. That was the big purchase.
Right. So now, I mean, we can't go out and buy other mattresses for other cabins. All the what's remaining in the budget needs to go to the maintenance and then to handle all the supplies that we need for the year, like your toilet paper, your paper towels, the cleaning supplies. So when we're talking about getting extra dollars and we finding something here that's a good deal, it has to come from somewhere else. We won't have anything more in that. So we want to be really, really careful in that department.
Question, Jody. I have like a running list of what I've, like the things that I've purchased, the amount. I had $7,500 for maintenance because we used to have it in separate categories, maintenance and supplies. I used to get $10,000 for maintenance and $1,500 for supplies. So I still kept my $1,500 for supplies and then $7,500 for maintenance. I have a total of $4,100 left on maintenance and $1,324 left for supplies.
Okay, maintenance usually runs around $5,000 to $5,500. So You want to adjust your numbers there. I don't care how you break it down. That's fine, as long as it doesn't go over the $9,000 that we have budgeted for all of that. But the maintenance on the cabin has typically run about $5,500. So adjust yours to that, okay?
Yeah, the maintenance is the supplies and things for the cabin. I mean, not the supplies, but the maintenance is furnishings and sheets and towels and those things. That is maintenance. When we first moved here, I didn't know that, so I didn't buy anything. I thought I had to buy everything out of supplies. The supplies is for the soap and the whatever, the stuff that we put, you know, paper towels, toilet paper, those sort of things that go in the consumable things that go in the cabin.
So, Jody, what I'm seeing here a little bit is a little disconnect between the perception of Nancy as to what she has to spend versus what our actual budget is. Would you just quickly review the totals of our actual budget in those areas for her?
Well, we combine, when we make the budget, we combine maintenance, furnishings, and supplies into one category. It's $9,000. So what we have to do is pull out what those have been running in the past to know what's available. Cabin maintenance, when we enter it in the system, in the QuickBooks, cabin maintenance would be like the cabin painting, fixing a fireplace, fixing the plumbing, that kind of thing. Furnishings would be, and I don't have a specific number for you, girl, because it's it runs about $5,500 a year just for that, as we've been putting it in, as we've been posting it year after year. So if we have a $9,000 budget and we're spending $5,500 a year for the repairs of the cabin, which I'm going to refer to as maintenance, we have $3,500 left over for furnishings and supplies. Furnishing supplies has always been grouped together, so I don't have a number on what you should actually spend for supplies, but I'm thinking at this point in time, being that we've spent a third of the budget for it, no more furnishings can be purchased for the cabins this year, and we have to leave that money for maintenance and the consumables. So we have $3,500. If we save the $5,500 for cabin maintenance, we have $3,500 left for the rest of the year to split between consumables and...
I'm confused. I'm not understanding at all. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, you know what? When we're done with the meeting, why don't you call me on the phone and we'll go over this together, okay?
Okay. Perfect.
We have, just remember, the big pool is $9,000. That's what we've got to do this maintenance, furnishings, and supplies for the cabin. You and I can go over how that splits up for more numbers. I can dig into it more to see how much it costs for the toilet paper and the consumables and let you know how much is there.
So the total is $9,000 some odd, no matter how you cut it.
Yeah, $9,000 total.
Right. And
you just spent $4,100,
right,
on furnishings.
No, I haven't spent $4,100.
So
$4,100 left.
So okay. State that figure again. $9,000 what?
We have $9,000 that is split between maintenance, furnishings, and supplies. Now, we've spent $3,000 right now on furnishings. We've spent $450 on maintenance to date. So our cabin maintenance and supplies, and then we spent $715 in supplies. So we're at about $4,000, a little bit over $4,000 spent, including supplies.
So we have, what's the dollar figure that we have left to spend on maintenance and supplies?
Hold on just a second.
You'd probably all speak the same things.
I have spent that. That's why we were confused about the amount, because it's way over above.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have $4,900 left to spend on the cabins this year, per our budget.
Okay, and then you and Nancy can get together on any... micro categories.
We do really good on
maintenance.
Yeah,
right. We do that. Last year, the cabin maintenance ran $5,500. Our cabin furnishings ran $4,700. That took us to the $10,000, a little over $10,000 for the year on that. And then we added in $3,000 for supplies. So know that your supplies, and I'm talking supplies, are your toilet papers, your paper towels, your rugs, your sheets and stuff. That was $3,000.
Okay, but the cabin, if you go into cabin maintenance,
yes.
The cabin, the things that were categorized under cabin maintenance, all the pots and pans that I bought went under cabin maintenance.
That would
not
be correct.
I would think that
would go under furnishings.
Well, I don't. I've never had a category for furnishings.
It's a new category.
The only categories that I've ever had with were maintenance and supplies. So that's what I work with.
And supplies are
all that's included in there. So we can do a breakdown on that later so you get it. And if Linda's posting it under maintenance, it needs to be changed to maybe supplies or furnishings to get it on maintenance. Because maintenance I'm looking at is just for repair. And you're right, there could be something in there. There could be a lot of entries in there that are under maintenance that weren't specifically to fix the fireplace or fix the roof or fix or paint the cabins. And then we need to move those and get them in the proper categories. So I will do some crunching of that to get you specifically what we need for supply money, what you should be allocated for that out of that to make it safe so we don't go over.
Okay, we won't go over. I have it all. I'm keeping a running total. Every time I spend something before I turn the receipt in, I write it in my book under the category that I'm taking it out of. It all ends up the same number. I won't go over.
Okay. Well, right. Yeah, and we'll divide it up to make it easier for you.
All right, good.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you, keep moving ahead here. We're going to lose Leland.
Fuel use, we've budgeted for $13,000 in 2015. That's for the unleaded and the red diesel. We've already spent $5,700 in this category. So that's 75% of what we already have allocated. As I understand it, because gas is so much cheaper, we've stockpiled more in the tanks at the ranch and are buying more fuel in town while it's still low, and hence that's why that number is the way it is. So we've stockpiled at the ranch, but we're not using the ranch. We're still buying it out local because it's still cheaper. So that's okay, but we still need to watch our fuel use. Fuel for travel is already over our budget for the year. We've already spent $524. We're only budgeted for $500 for the year. So that means, like, this trip to St. George, we're already over budget now. We've been over by $25. So fuel is critical. Even at the lower rate, we're not budgeting enough either, or we're spending too much fuel. We need to really address that. Okay, onward to my fourth thing. Because the winter's been mild, more work has been done around the ranch, and we've used $200 of the summer help monies to help pay for Zach for his extra help, and that's just fine. And they make that call because they were able to do more work because the weather was good. And the other thing to add on about the budget this year is we purchased the culverts for $1,700, so that's good. They're ready. I guess we've got them somewhere to be ready to use. So in overall, we just need to watch the expenditures on our vehicles and the repair, the fuel, the tools, the cabin, maintenance, supplies, and furnishings. Everything else looking really good.
All right. Just listening to you, I don't think these guys have been driving to the Bahamas or anywhere far, but so we probably are under budgeted as far as fuel a little bit. How do you feel about that statement, Jody?
Oh, let me look. Hold on. Let me pull that up. For fuel and travel in 2014, we had $1,000. You know what? Hold on. I don't have that paperwork up. I have some notes here, but now I'm afraid to read what they say because I'm not sure what I meant when I wrote them. They're on the just side notes on the 2015 final budget. But it looks like I'd have to get back on that, Bill. I have to go pull the numbers from the 2014 budget.
It just seems like $500. I mean, I know how much gas I put in my car, but I burn a lot, but not really compared to the travel these guys have to do. So I just, that's my only concern is $500 just seems off.
We're underestimating.
That we've underestimated the need, but.
Well, especially they have to go, you thought they could pick up all the interest.
Yeah, and that's what that's for. That is what that's for.
We've gone different areas to get supplies, to get culverts, to get cattle guards, and
board meeting to Vegas took a bunch too.
Yeah, right, right, and that's where part of that comes in from. And that's just for that kind of use. The other fuel that they use to go into town is under the other category of fuel, non-road use, other. It's under that one, so that doesn't include that. This is for special trips out. Last year it was for things, just different gas stations outside the normal area in which they go. So really this is just for those extra special trips or extra trips like, you know, to St. George or to Vegas. That's what that $500 is for.
Okay.
And
that makes it a little better.
Other categories allow more money for gas. In gasoline unleaded, like we have a $6,100 limit in that budget for that.
We might have just been listing it wrong on the receipts.
All right, Paul's going to look back at how he's been listing it because, I mean, if that's just for these special trips, they didn't spend $500 going to Vegas and to here. So something's got to be a little amiss there.
Okay, we can look into that.
Okay. Real good.
And that was my financial report.
All right. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. You're quite the financial person. I admire your abilities and appreciate what you've done.
Yeah. So we're receiving 81% of our budgeted money in terms of anyone now from March 1st on will be charged the 18% charge because it's not been in. So we should be, those who have not paid will have to pay the 18% charge, correct?
Yeah, they'll be on that interest, yes.
Right. Okay, let's go on to roads, fire protection, Robert.
Okay. On the Meadow Canyon MOU, I don't really have an update on that.
I've got a little update for you guys.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Dirk yesterday, a brief conversation, and we talked about a couple of things, but we were talking about the county and the snow removal thing, and specifically the issue we had with Lee Beller being stuck out in the on the podunk there. So I was talking to Dirk a little bit about, he wants to sit down with us and talk about not having a full special service district, but having some kind of an arrangement for snow removal that's Deer Springs specific. Okay. And he says, doesn't need to be done in a real formal fashion, but maybe we could get together with the Bert Harris and commissioner over the roads and yada yada yada. So I said we had a meeting today and we talked a little bit, not talking specifically about that, but Dirk mentioned, he says, you know, in addition to the snow removal on the Scootumpaw, they might, depending upon how this ring worked out, they might even be willing to do some snow removal on Meadow Canyon.
But we're talking some more cost to us, right?
Well, we're talking, I think I told you guys before, average number of plowing days a year is 5. That's pretty close to average, the number of days that they've actually had to remove snow. That's based on the last 13 years that I've lived out there. It would have been less than that this year, except for just the 2-week storm there that we got just a couple weeks ago. And the average cost, the average cost is, depending upon the depth of the snow, they use between 5 and 6 gallons an hour to plow, you know, to remove the snow. It takes between 5 and 6 hours to go out to the podunk and back, depending upon the depth of the snow. You start adding all these costs up and you go, okay, if we can come up with an average number of plowings that they agree to do as part of this, and then
we agree to either supplement based on fuel costs, is based on fuel costs alone, not on equipment time or operator time or anything else. You know, that if you know, we could come up with the extra amount, you know, like say for example, they agree to do 5 plowings a year for, you know,
and then
if it requires more, then we, you know, come up with the money.
So 6 hours out and back.
6 hours out and back, average, you know, let's just say 6 hours out and back, six gallons an hour, that's 36 gallons of fuel. If you, of course right now it's way down, but if it was, you know, we're talking anywhere between $70 and $100 worth of fuel, you know, for them to come out, you know, out and back.
I think we would feel pretty good about getting the road plowed.
Yeah.
Is that the headquarters? Is that down where Lee can get out?
I'm sorry?
Where Lee can get out?
That's for Beller also. All the way to his place.
That would be what they would like us to do is, and we do every year, is when Lee is not out at the podunk, the county stops plowing at the edge of the ranch. Okay? When he's out there, and he ordinarily wouldn't have been out there for this last storm, but the weather was so good, he came home. And then that's part of our agreement because that additional mileage saves them another hour and 6 gallons of fuel, you know, out and back to there. But we need to work out the details is what we're talking about. And what we need to do is decide, okay, we need to have a conversation with them and say, okay, look, This is what we've experienced so far. These are our concerns. What kind of arrangement can we come up with to ensure that there's access? And a big part is, and Paul knows this as well as everyone else who travels out there all year long, the more snow you can get off the road, the less work that needs to be done to repair it when it comes time for them to go out there. I explained to Bert and to Lou and to Dirk, when you take, you know, 6 hours of snow removal or 6 days of grading, I mean, that's how it works out. It takes 6 days to grade out past the ranch because they go out and back, you know, they go in, they pull the gravel, you know, move the gravel, straighten it out, pull the gravel back on, clean it up. And it takes 5 or 6 days to get out to the ranch and back. So anyway, that's in the works. And he's the one who suggested they might even do a little bit of snow removal on Meadow Canyon, which would benefit us because we wouldn't have to do road repairs later. We talked about real briefly about not having a full blown special service district, but having an agreement, a road agreement with them.
Okay, so I feel like we don't have to have a motion or anything, but just a general consensus that that's to our benefit. Everybody feel fairly positive. We'll review whatever they come up with.
Yeah.
But for now, we're in on them evaluating that and being a part of negotiating
that.
Once
they head that up and bring back information, absolutely.
And it seems favorable to us.
I think that being what about going to Old Meadow Canyon? Do you want them up there, Paul?
For people, you know, who, you know, wouldn't mind getting up to their lot, you know, in the winter months, I think it's beneficial. You know, we talked about them grading the road. That's a huge blade to go up there and to take a little skiff off the road here and a skiff off the road there. That's a lot of gravel. If they were to just clear the snow and do like they do on the Scoot and Pop, I think it would be beneficial, yeah.
So
you have our blessing.
Having living up in Podunk, I wouldn't mind him going on up to where Lee meets the road because we like to go out there several times in winter.
We can
a lot of times we get the ranch and after that it's.
Well, what we can do, with this agreement is we can just say the Podunk is part of Beer Springs Ranch. So what we want to see is we want you to go, you know, if we enter into this agreement that...
Those other five times, we want
to... We want that additional hour's worth of work.
You're saving a lot of work on the road later.
Oh, and the worst part, you well know that just after you leave the ranch, that section of road between the edge of the ranch and Lick Wash can be just a quagmire. Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. As part of this thing would be is whether Lee's out there or not, that, you know, the Podunk is part of Deer Springs Ranch, and it ought to be considered part, and, you know, getting the access out there should be part of it.
I think it'd be good to have an agreement because as far as they're concerned, and I've talked to some of the road people for the county, the sign at the bottom says impassable when wet, and they're not liable, or they're not, what's the word I'm thinking of, responsible to clear any of the snow. So I think at least coming up with an agreement is huge.
Well, let me just, they felt when they ended up, when Dallas stopped plowing at the edge of the ranch because the road underneath was so wet, he was doing more damage than good. They felt bad about the fact that they had stranded Beller out there. Okay. I mean, I've been in constant contact with him since that happened. And one of our big things is we don't want to touch that road doing anything without permission from them because they're officially the owners of the road. And so, you know, they gave blessing for Paul to bust a trail out to the Podunk and back. And they would have come out themselves, but they were handling another emergency on another dirt road, you know. So
knowing that that's a bad section of road, you know, they went in and put a lot of gravel between the ranch and the oil road this last year. Could they not work on this other bad section and put some gravel in those bad areas, just in the bad areas?
We can talk to them about one of the other things that Dirk mentioned to me is that they were holding, the county was holding their breath from the Utah legislative session because there was discussions of funding on B and C roads, and the Scoot and Paws of B Road, and it gets X number of funding dollars on that thing, and because there's been changes in the way the federal government pays they make a payment in lieu of taxes, you know, for road stuff. And, you know, a lot of that funding went away. And so they've got to get the final say-so from what happened on the legislative session to know where they're going to be money-wise speaking. But I think it behooves us to enter into some kind of agreement with them that is beneficial to both sides, you know. So,
let's keep.
I wanted to thank Brent on the with the snow on the roads and updating everybody with the emails. I read it, I'm sure everybody else did, and then the follow through also after no emergency really happened to recontact everybody. That's huge communication. I really thank.
So I think we're assuming that you're going to be involved.
I'll just take care of it and keep you guys updated.
Okay.
And then that'll just save you guys from having to deal with it. You guys get to make the final decision on it.
Yeah.
All I'm going to do is be a facilitator. I'm just going to go out there and I've established a relationship with the people in Kane County, and I can just do it, and then you guys can make the decision. You know, I'm not going to make any decisions for anybody. I'm just going to get information.
Understanding, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I think we're all in favor of that. So, okay, keep moving on there, Robert. And I think what we're going to do is, as soon as you're done with your section, we're going to fire over to Leland to let him talk about his, in case he has to leave.
I still have to work. I'm ready to hold a wind about the Title V stuff. I just got to make enough. Contact during tax and make sure we're clear and get any information what we need on that. We're working on that. Paul, RCP? Is that the seventh? It's actually RCP. Okay.
I did purchase it. Yeah. I appreciate that. We got that done. Did it get delivered
yet? Delivered. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, what is RCP?
Concrete.
Reinforced concrete pipe.
Oh, okay.
Big 30-inch, eight pieces of them. Got them for $200 a piece delivered.
Awesome.
Appreciate that.
That's huge.
The BLM gravel pit, I think we just needed some to look at the prices. I guess it's per cubic yard. I'm not even sure. But, and I was thinking, I think we had an existing 50 cents for members. They would charge 50 cents a cubic yard. And I was thinking for non-members, it would be $1 a cubic yard. And I guess that BLM, is that on our, is that our standard pit that everyone talks about? We have, okay. And I'd just like to move forward with just putting something down in writing, and then we'll get it approved maybe in the next board meeting. So that's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
That. And then we talked about that. The metal can. I brought this up. I think that's all I have. Yeah.
So, do we address that in the rules and regs? Did we address the gravel pit? I think it's probably something we should include.
Other than right, just having something at headquarters addressing that fact. But you're right; I think it should be in the rules.
Larry Carson was supposed to have written that gravel pit.
We've had some.
There is a policy somewhere. There is a written something.
We have a written policy now. It just needs to be updated.
Okay.
Where is that, Jody?
I've got a copy of it right here. I can email it. I don't know who holds the original, but we have the copies. It's been in effect for a long time. But you could put something on the rules or regs, like you can add a section, granite pit policy, find attached documents on the website, and we can post it there.
All right.
You don't have to add it in there and spend the time to do that. But, yeah, do you have a printed copy there with you, Robert?
No, send me a copy, please.
Okay.
Okay, that...
I'll always send that to everybody.
That, the gravel pit policy's on the website. It's got its own heading and page and everything. It's been there, for... I don't know, 7 years or something like that.
Okay, then I don't have to email that back out again. And, yeah, it was at 50 cents per cubic yard, and we were talking a couple of meetings ago about increasing it for non-members use to $1 per cubic yard.
Yeah, 10-4. Okay, good deal. Thanks, Vance. Thanks, Jody. Mm-hmm. Just one last thing, I guess, that I just bring up is that I'm going to try and get out here when the roads get better, but I'd like to do some inventory of all the canyon roads. I might get a video camera and try to video at least a one-time drive and put them on DVDs just so we have them. I'd like, show existing conditions, and years later you can look to see what's changed. And then just numbering probably culverts that we have and anything like that so we have a good idea.
GPS of all of them.
GPS on, there you go. Thank you. Try and GPS that. And that way when if somebody calls me and says, the culvert on Slide Canyon, maybe I have a number. And they can tell me, then I know what we're talking about. So that's just a little inventory on the roads. I'm going to try and get that up to date, hopefully, this summer.
That's kind of really needed. Okay. So let's shoot down for a minute to Leland on the agricultural.
Number 10.
Okay. Talk to Doug Hunt about his grazing agreement. He still has a raised cattle out again about the same time this year, and it depends on how much grass we have. I asked him kind of how many cattle that he runs on the property, how much
water.
And he said that a lot of that depends on how much food is there. And he just looks at it, determines whether he'll handle this many head or this many, because it's on average around 100 head is what he's been putting out there. So this year he may be able to put a few more or in a really wet spring.
He's never come close to what we've allotted for him.
And I talked, asked him if there's anything that we needed to do for him. He says, no, since things are working good. Says, there's been a few fence issues, you know, that we agreed to do that we haven't done, but he says, I'm easy. He says, don't worry about it. I don't know if that's containment down at the ranch or where, but he says, he just tries to belong and is happy.
Do we know what he's talking about?
No, what I think is praying is I get to know him a little more about it. But he just kind of mentioned that. But he wasn't upset about it or anything. He just was, I'm easy to belong.
Do you know what he might be talking about?
He's happy to
What's the issue?
Some fencing that we have not done?
Some fencing that we agreed to in the beginning. That needs to be upgraded or something.
There was some dividing fence lines, you know, the meadow. Cows keep getting out of the meadow. But putting that cattle guard in has kind of helped out. And then there's a fence by Half Moon Reservoir that, you know, the cows always kind of mow down. But we've worked it out with them.
Okay.
Oh, input here.
Yes.
As I understand it, we were totally in compliance with our contract last year, Leland. I forget who was over wildlife then, but as far as I understand, we had completed that night. I was very vigilant about completing that and talked with Ben Clarkson, who was over it before the last person was. I can't remember who it was on last year, but that we finally finished everything. Paul, was that not 2 years ago that we finished everything that we were supposed to do under his contract?
They all said, you know, all parties said they were in compliance.
He did say that he sent his son out to do some fence work. He spent 3 days going around the fence down there where the fields are and worked those over.
That's a yearly thing.
But he said he's happy. So there's no real issues there. I heard somewhere on the agenda that there were bees were increased. I don't understand where.
I didn't hear that. Paul said the grazing fees have increased, right?
It was in the paper.
On the BLM.
So you mean
on the BLM, not
the BLM grazing fees have increased. Yeah.
I asked him
nothing
about
to do with our lease and stuff.
And he said he'd already got his permit, and there was he didn't see no increase.
It might be in effect. I don't know. I'd have to pull the paper up again.
Okay, so that wouldn't affect us at the ranch. I'll be sure. Okay.
No.
Oh, and can I clarify too on back to A? Yes, in our original contract with Doug, we were supposed to get some fencing up to standards, and it was all spelled out on what. But then after that time, that Doug and his crew would be help maintaining our fence lines to keep their cattle in as well. So it's not just on us to do that.
Yeah, they did that.
I think there's a responsibility for the ranch to maintain certain fences and. You know, those cows, if they want to go somewhere, they're going to go somewhere. But we really try and beef them up so they're contained.
So really,
and some other lot owners build their own fences, too, to keep them out.
He sounded happy. He said, you know, he's happy with what's happening out there, and he plans to bring his cows out again. So.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just moving on to talk to Paul about getting the spray, the poison for the rabbit brush, and I'll check in on that this week and get some solid prices on what that's going to cost. And then I've been trying to dive into the wildlife end of things and my responsibility, and I did some phone calls to the Division of Wildlife and kind of chasing that down because everybody I've talked to has kind of been vague about the tags that are issued out there. What happens is they figure out how many agricultural acres are being farmed. It has to be farmed and harvested the same year. It has to be 20 acres or more. It can be combined between two lots. If you have 5 acres and your friend has 15, those can be combined as long as they're being farmed and harvested, and that equals one tag. But the way it's set up at the ranch, any tags that we are eligible for doesn't mean you get them, but what we're eligible for goes into a pool, and those are sold off at auction, and then that money is divided up every year. That way we get some money every year from the wildlife tags that are being given by the Division of Wildlife, and depending on what they go per tag, that's divided up depending on our eligibility, everybody's eligibility.
And this was all the chatter that we got back and forth from Linda, right?
Well, she's getting involved in that, but from what my little research is, and I've got another guy that's supposed to be calling me back, but just trying to make sure that the ranch is getting their just dues from what's
And I think the thing of interest, too, is there something we can do? I mean, how much you're saying has to be farm harvested the same year,
yes.
And 20 acres is a minimum.
20 acres a minimum.
How big a piece of ground do we have right there by the ponds, you know, on the west side of the upper of the ponds, not the meadow, but it's sort of cleared where a volleyball thing was and down, you know, about a 5 or 10 acre piece or?
I don't know.
I don't get in there all the time, though. No. Even when we fix the fences, they go off the edge where you...
Oh. It's also that, and then there's also... land that you have to have 600 plus acres of just rangeland to qualify for one tag. That's where we qualify more is in the rangeland area than we do the farmed area.
But that, where Jody's looks down on that valley and that whole thing where we brush on that whole area that goes up the Broad Hollow that through there, that's got to be a 20-30 acre area.
We did farm and harvest that.
And we did?
Yeah.
We did try to plant it, but did we harvest anything?
They harvested a lot of it. 33 bales.
Yeah, not a lot, but for one year.
So what I'm getting at is we might want to see if
we can figure out how many acres of rangeland we're doing and how many acres of agriculture.
There's two people to talk to about that. Bruce Bunting is like the president of that group, and Larry Clarkson is real knowledgeable about it.
So we're trying to get on top of that, just to make sure that the ranch is getting their just dues, that they're getting the eligibility that they're eligible for. If that plays in what we paid.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if the, we want to make sure that what we're eligible for is actually what we're getting back, because I don't know. Further research that. I actually had some papers on, I couldn't find them last night, so I've got
to find them. I talked to Larry about this a few years ago, because it was brought up to me, because everybody in Kanab's like, oh, how many tags do you guys have up there? And I tell them, you know, we're not involved in that, we're involved in this. So I asked Larry, he said, calculate how many acres are farmland, how many acres are harvestable, how many acres are just wild rangeland, and water is in the area, and it's all off of a point system. So they gather up all these points, and then you're allotted so many tags. And so they sell those tags, and if the ranch got 3 or 4 tags, we could make $1,000, we could make $20,000. So to have it, we get on average anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 a year. And he said that if we were to get a tag or two or however many it was, it would average somewhere around $3,000. So we're kind of getting a better deal doing what we're doing this.
Where they combine them. Yeah.
One question is, if you plant a pasture, you just
It has to be
rangeland, would it not?
Yes. If you're
I got 2 acres on a plateau up here that I planted last year. It's coming up.
Let's get another point going. I mean, it's one here and one here and one here, but you know, Larry said that they tried doing it a long time ago, planting the field house or point, and never worked out.
Okay. All right.
Can I bring something in here?
Yes.
It's just advanced. Hey, does all the bazillions of square feet of brush hogging that Paula's done over the last couple of years, which does improve the rangeland, the grasses grow much, much better, can we throw that at this thing? I mean, does anybody know? We really need some documentation from this PLOA outfit, how they run this program. And it sounds like we don't have it.
And I think that's what Leland's trying to get.
That's where we're at. We're not sure that the ranch is being represented fully in what it's eligible for the tax. Doesn't mean you get those tags. It's not an automatic given. Because the Division of Wildlife sit down every year and decide how many tags they're going to issue on that land. This year there was 18 deer tags, 2 elk, from what I understood from the BLM. And we're not the only landowners out there that they're considering. So we've got other big ranches out there that they look at, and that's where they determine. So
right. We're
just making sure getting a fair shake, and that we're getting our what's due to us.
Well, somebody should follow up on the brush hogging thing, because I don't know. Brent might confirm this, but I tell you what, I see a heck of a lot more deer down our way, and especially in Broad Hollow on the east side of the gulch along the road since Paul brush hogged that. They were always kind of there, but now they're like they're all, or, when it's not 10 feet deep in snow, they are there all the time. I know that brush hogging has made a difference. We do it anyway at minimal expense to, say, farming. We just need to try to push that issue and see if that, qualifies as an improvement to them.
I think it would under the grazing acres.
But I really think we're looking at a 10, something that was assessed 10 years ago might need to be reassessed. And, hey, there's actually more acres here available.
So we'll charge you, Leland, to give us a report then on what you find out that way. So he's going to pursue that, Vance. Okay, we're getting down to, I think the only thing we have, we got the HOA stuff a little bit from Robert and, but main thing is we'll talk a little bit about the water committee and the water issues. And I want you to know that I've been in communication with Jody, and Jody has with the committee a little bit. Jody sent me a few things we've been putting together, but they're still in very quite rough draft formation, and like water development guidelines summary, ranch neighborhood water system development guidelines, and so I'm going to turn time over to Jody to give us a brief summary of that, and but we are not to the point right now where we can appease the demands of Dirk and Dale. But Jody, why don't you tell us what we do have?
Okay, well, basically, to back up what you just said, we've been spending a lot more hours working on the plans for ranch neighborhood water system and the development of such and guidelines as such. But, this is a pretty deep project, no pun intended. And it's, the more farther in it goes, the more things that we can find. And although we have some documentation going and started and in a rough draft form, it's really not to the point of presentation yet, so I'm just going to continue the process until we can keep moving further. But it is quite complicated. We want to make it easy, but it's a complicated issue to make easy. And that's really all my update and report on that at this time, because there's just not enough to give out at the moment.
All right. Thank you. I want you to know that I sent some questions to Vance about the – we have a lot of talk, and there was some clarification issues last time about the 0.45 acre-feet of water. And Vance wrote up a pretty good summary here, like a Q&A, question and answer thing for people. And I will send you what Vance has put together. If you want to just briefly look at that, that's a copy that he sent me. So thank you, Vance, for your efforts to do that. I felt that that right there was a very good thing to understand fully. And there needs to be some clarifications and possibly some additions to our bylaw. It's in our bylaws, item number 12 of our bylaws. Talks about the 0.45 acre feet of water and transferring and changing points of diversion, et cetera, et cetera. And so the Water Committee will keep us abreast of that. This was the first kind of draft that Vance sent me, which I thought was pretty informative and kind of spells it out. So you'll get that, and then we need to chatter about that and continue to have the Water Committee work on getting us a more formal stuff, and because we need to deal with some of the demands that are upon us right now. In fact, Dirk Clayson sent me a request. Where are we at on my request? And, So I answered him, and so at any rate, there we don't have anything concrete to. They don't, and I don't to present you right now on this, and but it is starting to formulate. A lot of effort was placed into. Thanks to Vance alerting us on the protest issue, and so that's a whole other separate issue. Besides the Meadow Canyon Spring, we've got the issue of water in the Half Moon thing. So that's about all there is to say about it for the present. If you have any questions, I may not be able to answer them, but that's about all that we have.
So you've already had a response to Dirk on Meadow Canyon Spring thing?
Well, I keep reminding him that per his their request that basically, you know, the whole thing over and over, I've said it about six different ways and times and letters to him or to Dale, that we do not, until the board through the Water Committee has a policy, an application form, an application process, we're not responding to any of their individual requests right now. They'll have to reapply for that. And I basically reiterated that to Dirk again just last night, another paragraph, basically saying the same thing. But I can understand their concerns, their issues, their desires, and nobody's trying to purposely not accomplish or, you know, stand in their way. But this, as Jody has said, the more we get into it, the more we know we don't know, and the more we need to be knowledgeable, and so there is work going on. And what I would like to request, Jody, is I would like to have the roster of who is on the Water Committee and a little statement how people are on the Water Committee and who is on the Water Committee. For sure, I know you are our chairman and board member in charge of that, but I wanted to just maybe clarify that point. And it's like people that lobby the congressional people, you know, the legislative session. I want to be able to us to say, well, here's some people you can call if you want to give input, not to place hardcore demands on a specific issue, but if you want to give your feeling or your input on things that they can. Does that make seem reasonable to you, Jody?
Sure.
Okay. And all right, let's look back at the agenda. We covered everything, and there was a little bit for Alan and a little time for you. I mean,
okay.
Bob.
I got one thing. Is all everything was covered on mine with the Paul and Nancy thing. But
okay.
She sent out an email, everybody, board members anyway, and got confusing here. And the sentence here says, the total I've spent on the cabin is $4,100. It was a misprint. She didn't mean to say the total I've spent. She meant to say the total I have left. That's a 180-degree turnaround there.
I always sent it to you and Linda.
Oh, that's all? Okay. So that's why I was confused. Some of the questions I had. How could you spend that much when we thought it would be half that? But
right.
It was half. The total spent was $26.19. So whoever got the email, which is me and Linda.
I got it.
You got it? So anyway, there's a correction on that. Other than that, go to Bob.
Can I just add something real quick? These committees, you know, cabins and roads, or cabins and equipment, roads, and it's really kind of working out pretty good. We purchased some culverts. I called you. You said to deal with him. I dealt with him. We got to take care of some of the stuff with the cabins. It's just real easy to call one person. And, you know, here this last week, I called Joe and said, hey, you know, there's this great deal on this toolbox. And he said, let's wait a little bit and look and see. And so I kind of put my feelers out, and he put his feelers out, and we came up with one for, you know, a third of the price of a new one. So, you know, things are working. And, you know, with this email, you know, if you don't all get an email from us, it's not, you know, we're leaving out. I personally think, you know, if you have a question about cabins, you know, we email Joe. We might,
that's right.
We might, you know, have you on there. But if I have a question about roads, I don't feel like you're left out. But it's really kind of coming together, and I appreciate you guys and your time.
Glad to hear it's working well for you. I think it's working well for us. There's always that point where Joe or whoever it might say, okay, yeah, let's do this, but I want you to always make sure when there's action taken that there's a real clear move on it, or it's clear what you're supposed to move on. I think there's a little bit of confusion. I've heard both sides of the story now, a little bit on bids and all of this stuff we got, and it's good. It's all good. But probably could have been a little stronger
communication
on when to pull the trigger, basically. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
That'd be the case. So I'm glad to hear that. All right, Bob?
Okay.
We're taking on.
I'm road driving, I'm mud driving, I am walking, and
he's the last one, and I wanted to show you something outside. You'll spend another time.
All right, I got 30 minutes.
Okay.
You were going to leave. Really?
Okay, Bob.
I need to tell the board about a container I'm going to take up to my place.
Okay.
Mom bought the container to move her household goods into before she passed away. And we've got it just about empty now. So it's going to go up, and I'm going to fill it with wood that's already up there. And it'll be on the west side of, the south side of my gate.
Full of what?
I think full of wood?
Well, between all of them.
Oh, just make sure it doesn't go on my property.
Okay.
Okay.
You on the road?
Send us pictures in Google Earth.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's that.
And that's, you know, our only concerns were, that's one thing we didn't finalize in the rules and regs, but drainage, property line, just common sense. Anything else? HOA stuff or anything else?
Val Cram had a water meeting at his house here in St. George a while back.
For the Podunk people?
Yeah, for the Podunk people. And he elected himself in charge of finding out all the information he needed. And so he's done that. And Leland presented it all to me this morning. And so in on a water committee, I'm going to forward it to Vance and Jody.
And then the interaction that we need to have with that.
Right. And then it'll go from there.
Okay.
Can I speak?
Yep.
What Val wants is
he wants to move 2 acre feet from DSR to DSROA of water from 1718 down at the pull down up to Mud Spring, which has no claim on it. And then he's petitioning us as the board to look at, you know, him and his family will run a water line if we'll purchase it. It's like a 1-inch plastic pipe. They'll trench down to the pond on lot one and use water from Mud Springs to fill that pond and then improve lot one. That's his proposal. He's already talked to landowners about running through and he's just asking us as the board to look it over and the water committee to look it over. And if that is something that we'd be willing to do, they're putting up about $1,500 to put it in. We'd be asked to do between $400 and $500.
That will have to be the same thing until we have this application process.
Yes.
And it certainly would be something that water committee needs to address. And there's our bylaws right now talk in bylaw number 12 talks about changing points of diversion, a well. There are other arguments that, well, bring, but it doesn't say that. It only says the concerns are this. The concerns are when you do change a point of diversion, you have to fill out the forms with the state.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but you have to prove up on those when you make that change. So the ranch, as a stewards over water, concern is the water rights will be proved up and not lost. Because if they're lost, they're lost to that member, they're lost to the ranch. And so anyway, those are just some of the background.
They're not DSROA owned right now. Dale Clarkson owns these, and it's going to be 2 acre feet from what he owns going to DSROA, which would be a plant that much spring when it comes back to the ranch. Ranch will actually benefit.
The pond is on lot one.
It's actually out of the ranch.
Mud Springs are outside the ranch?
Yes.
Just north.
And he's just trying to use that water because it kind of comes down and makes a mess on these other people's property. Really doesn't get used at all.
I'm not passing any judgment because I don't. Obviously, I don't know anything. I just wanted to make you aware of some of the concerns about point of diversion.
And we need to talk about those.
Yeah. So
let's
good.
Put it on the agenda.
We'll put on the agenda if the water committee has, but we wouldn't be putting on the agenda any passing approval to do that or not until we have water committee organized and we have application areas that have to fall in the same category that Dale and Dirk
are in right now. Something about it. It doesn't sound like they're all the same thing. This is water rights that don't belong to the ranch at all, and they're asking if it's okay, if the ranch would be willing to purchase the pipe for them to put water into the pond. He has water. It's his water rights that he's having that. It's not anything that concerns the ranch.
But there's still a plan approval.
Right.
There's still a plan approval for
right.
And
where the pond goes.
And there's cost.
High.
Cost
right.
And the ranch. Whether
it's
we
all
want
in the paperwork.
Yeah. So that's great.
I'll make copies.
Okay. Make sure that Jody and, well, you guys have that and talk about that.
It's actually a good idea, I think, because it'll improve that lot one and it'll clean it all up.
Sounds good. Sounds great. Don't really want, we're in a hot, tough position. We don't really want to hinder water development, yet we have to be very careful that we are organized in the way we move forward. So. Okay, with that, have we covered everything we covered in the record?
For ranch activities and security from our.
Okay. No. He was just going to say something about the tag, Paul, the stickers. So Paul actually covered that with the stickers. I think he talked.
No, we already did. They did most of the cabin and.
Well, I had a question about that. Last year, there was discussion on what might be done for cabin three and the stairs going down to it. Is there enough money in the cabin maintenance to be able to look at that and say that's what we can do? Is that a priority that we should look at? But I think cabin three is important.
There's been talk about that, waiting for the, you know, for things to clear up so we can get a couple bids. I have some people ready to go up there and do some bids. But there was talk of if we take that out of contract services, which is a perfect category to take that from, which we have money in, or should we take that out of cabin maintenance?
It has to do with cabin maintenance. I think that's where it ought to be. So Joe will have to
okay.
prepare
okay.
that.
There's not enough
in
cabin maintenance any year to cover that, if that's okay.
Yeah, we won't be able to get that done this year.
Are you on a water board?
Sorry,
are you on a water board?
So let's...
I am.
4,000. I'm guessing. I mean, it kind of depends
send you a
on what materials we use, how much we want to really get into it.
So, Joe, you'll have to head that up with these guys. I mean, give us an idea and have a proposal. So I'm passing the buck, like we've done for different areas, to Joe on that stairway thing.
Okay, to be noted also.
Whether it comes out of cabin maintenance.
Oh.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jody.
Right. Okay, to be noted too, contracted services comes out of roads, not cabins.
Okay. I can't see that.
So there's a roads and
contracted services? Contracted services is $10,000 allotted to doing the roads. That has nothing to do with the cabins.
So it's where we contract for somebody to spread gravel or haul gravel. Or
right, right. That's maintaining the roads.
And doing some work on a cabin.
Or it's not a cabin. No, it's on the side of the hill. It's not even doing it. It's a cabin. It's on the side of the hill. So it has to be out of
cabin maintenance.
Right. It would have to come out of cabin maintenance, yeah.
Well, if there's no money, then there might have to be a fix-it.
Yeah.
A little bit better fix-it
yeah.
than what it is
yeah.
for the summertime coming up rental.
Yeah.
All right, then I'd like to propose during this meeting, do we know what, but before doing so, I want to establish when the next board meeting is. And usually it would fall on the second Saturday, which would be in April.
April 11th.
And this one, in all probability, could be held at the ranch. And I think that's what we've envisioned. So we need to... Linda needs to be informed of that. And a good suggestion that was made by, while I'm talking about it, by Joe and Candy was we'll have Linda do, or no, our secretary, Joe, anyway, we'll try to send out notice again. But I did call, and then I didn't, for, you know, stuff, but I never heard from anybody really, hardly, until and Linda got on the bandwagon and said, oh, we don't have an official agenda, so I'll be trying to work with her to be a little more connected, so we have to finalize that at least 10 to 14 days before the meeting.
What time does that meeting be, Phil?
Out at the ranch, do we want to start a little later? Do we want to have an afternoon meeting, or because we don't know about roads or weather, maybe we could start it.
It'll be too early. We could put it in the garden.
April 11th be too early to get up there.
No.
Not the way the temperature is
in the garden. Yeah.
I'm saying maybe we should have this meeting that starts after lunch, like at 1 o'clock or something. Or do you want to? And then there's plenty of time to drive out there, scout around, do what you want, and then have the meeting. Does that sound reasonable?
1 o'clock. That means you guys want.
You don't eat.
No, we want breakfast because we'll be here all day and all night. Okay, then with that said, let's move that we adjourn this meeting. Is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
So be it.